To the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I listen because Rod and Karen are hot.
The militarization of post 9/11 America, known as the Global War on Terror, transformed American culture, whether the subject is sports or policing, Hollywood or media, or fashions such as camouflage jumpsuits, jackets, and yoga pants, or travel. The high-end travel apparel firm Tumi sells $1,000 camouflage patterned luggage. If the purpose of camouflage is to disguise itself in an environment, the military has succeeded in blending itself into every aspect of American life. The government's notorious 1033 program allows the Pentagon to transfer military equipment to civilian law enforcement, because if there's one thing your average local police department really needs, it's a mine-resistant tank. The 1033 program remade the image of police departments across America, which now often resemble occupying forces instead of ostensibly the vital allies of communities. It is Main Street as Fallujah, with police wearing the drab denim tees and manning mine-resistant ambush protected vehicles, MRAPs, if you're using the lingo, in America against American citizens. Well, some American citizens. State police maintain recruiting offices on military bases, allowing for discharged soldiers to take police exams, paving a smooth transition from warrior soldier to warrior cop. Genuflection toward the military is a requirement at sporting events, embedded through the undisclosed financial relationships between military branches and teams, which is sold to the public as the NFL or NBA supporting the troops. The military pays sports teams to promote war. The subservient public laps it up, and the dissenters are punished as un-American, and perhaps they are, for criticizing the earning of a dollar. Every day in America, the business of militarization masquerades as patriotism. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a May the 4th be with you Monday. Okay, shout out to all my force heads. Okay, that's what I like to call my Star Wars fans. We appreciate y'all. Took the day off yesterday, just as tired, you know.
Yes,
just, you know, just one of those days.
Yeah, because we've been going really, really hard lately.
Shout out to my girl Monica. But you can find us all these other places too. Plus, we were on Playable Characters.
That's out now.
One of our favorite podcasts to be guest on.
That was so much fun.
You guys can go find it. I really do highly suggest, if you listen to this episode, go find Playable Characters on wherever you listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. And check us out, man. Check out what we are talking about on the show, because it's fun. We get to go in there and play characters and improv and make jokes for, you know, an hour or something, and it's always such a good time. You know, so hopefully people liked it. Last time we were residents and of Game Rampage, who kept getting their buildings destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then this time we were assassins in Assassin's Creed. So I hope you guys check it out and enjoy it.
Me too.
You know, I don't want to toot our own horns, but it was very fucking funny. We were really good.
We had a ball.
All right, the excerpt that I got today is Full Dissidents, which of course is by Howard Bryant. And in this chapter, he's talking about militarization of America and policing and stuff, and how it ends up where, like, a, you know, and how it all kind of ties into, like, race and capitalism and even, like, you know, Colin Kaepernick and sports and all this stuff. And this is an article that I saved for the show, but it was going to be a quick article anyway. It reminds me of this. So you know how right now the city's locked down and all these cities are locked down, some are opening back up, but New York and DC ended up getting a bit of a, I don't know if you would call it a surprise, but a gift, guys, from America, from Trump and his administration. The military flew jets over DC and New York.
The fuck, why?
Over, like, Central Park and all that stuff and the National Mall. And that kind of thing is what I'm thinking about when I think about militarization and how we've accepted it. You know, whether it is the camouflage pants and you know, gear that we all own and buy that's everywhere, you know, it's just like another color now. You know, camouflage is part of the color spectrum when you go buy something. And I bought camouflage shit without even thinking about it. I was just like, oh yeah, I like the color of this these jogging pants or whatever without even thinking like, oh yeah, this is normalizing the military, you know?
And you know what? I truly think I have anything camouflage, because in my mind I equate camouflage with hunting, and I was like, bitch, I don't hunt. What I need camouflage for? What am I trying to blend in with?
Well, you already have that, but then it also is just like fashion now. Camouflage luggage, you know, like, well, first of all, I don't want my luggage to not, I want my luggage to stand out.
Yeah, I do, because all them shits is the same. You never find your shit.
But it's also interesting too, because he brings up like how much we see like police and military crossing over, which, you know, because America puts the military in this unquestionable light, right? All the values and merits of the military are supposed to be positive. That's why Vietnam was such a like shift in the narrative for how we view military in this country, because it was the first time that we really said, maybe America's not the conquering hero, maybe we're not coming to save the day, maybe we're not the allies of the oppressed people around the globe, maybe we got our own shit, you know, maybe we're over there, we're not supposed to be doing this shit, maybe we don't have a cause to truly rally behind. And I think that's kind of interesting, because police definitely rely on being associated with the military so that we can be like, yeah, you can't question them, they're heroes, even as they do gear up for war against American citizens, as he says, some American citizens, mostly black people, brown people, which is, you know, like Ferguson, when we saw Ferguson uprising, and you look and you see them rolling down, the police rolling down the street with Humvees and tanks and military vehicles and military weaponry, it's like, who did you gear this up for? Because, you know, it all started under auspices of the war against terror, as if terror can strike anywhere. Well, terror's not going to strike Ferguson, Missouri, unless it's the terror of white supremacy. You're never going to see, you know, Osama bin Laden fly a plane into Ferguson, Missouri. So why do Ferguson police need military tactical gear? For what purpose could it be? You know, who is the enemy combatant in this purpose when you're filling out that work order, that purchase order for this military equipment coming back from, you know, overseas? Who exactly do you plan in your mind's eye? Who do you plan to be looking down the sight of that tank at? You know what I mean? And it's stuff like that really makes you consider like how much we've let military culture like run amok in America, you know. And I'm not even gonna, you know, add the qualifiers that people always have to do here, you know, oh, I love the troops and all that. Like, this is just a general, like, I can't love the troops till they kill me, I can't love the police until they kill me. Like, that's, you know, that's like, they don't love me, that's the problem.
Yeah, and also the thing is, when it comes to the military, it's always been a lie to most people, because we were never accepted into the military. They accepted us reluctantly, and then when you get in there, you have to deal with the racism and oppression and all that shit that, you know, within the military itself. So, you know, for black people as a whole, for a lot of us, for black and brown people and a lot of poor people, you enter the military for income, for education and things like that. Most people, if they have any forms of means, and people hear this, most people, they don't go to the military. They like, the fuck that. I don't love America that goddamn much to pick up arms and fight for it.
And the same thing with policing, though.
Correct.
A lot of people go into policing not because of some altruistic notion to help their community. They need a job.
Right.
You know, that was one of the big things about when black people joined the police force that black people in the community completely just missed, you know. And this is not a knock at those people, I understand. Before then, police officers were white, you know, it comes from slave patrols and shit like this in the South anyway, and they were always terrorizing black folks. So I get why black people are like, we should blacken up the police force, maybe we'll get a fair shot, maybe other black people will be sympathetic, maybe they could at the very least practice classism within the black diaspora in a way white people can't, so they could tell the difference between an upstanding black gentleman and a thug, quote unquote. And none of that worked out. But the point being, when they talk to the people who got the jobs, those officers were like, I needed a job.
I needed to work.
Like, it wasn't a cause. It wasn't a thing that I was like, I want to be the mark for my people. I want to change policing from the inside. They was like, I couldn't find a job. I lost my factory job. I applied to hundreds of jobs. I came back from the military. No one fucking hired me because of racism. And here's this program for police officers, and they don't respect me and they don't treat me right. But at least it's a fucking job. And if the job means, essentially, what we do here is police and oppress black and brown people, then I'm gonna do that because that's what the job is, not because I'm black or whatever. I'm not changing shit.
Correct. And me talking about the military, I come from a long line of generations and generations of people, and some people in today, and some of my family members actually are leaving the military because Trump's in office. And they, you know, I have an aunt, she left, and she had been 30 years. She was like, nah, I'm good. And she normally, she's some form of military. She does reserve something. She was like, no, I am pulling my name out of the motherfucking hat. And so, you know, I think that, for me, the military serves its purpose, but how the military is used in these instances that you're talking about is where a lot of the problem comes in. It's like you blend them together. You mix the police officers and the military together. They actually don't do the same thing. They do some of the same things, but their purposes are not the same, but their purpose is the same. It's like, oh, we bought too much shit, so what are we gonna do with this extra shit? We don't want to sell it to these foreign countries. We'll sell it back to the people in America. And like you say, when they purchase this stuff, what do you need with the tank in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, South Carolina? What do you need a tank with a population of 1,000 people? No sense.
And I don't have a lot of family and stuff that's in the military. My dad was in the Air Force for a while just to get like a college degree, but I have beat a lot of Call of Duties. And so I can speak to some of these experiences, you know, the PTSD, the nightmares, the murders, you know, that you never get out of your mind and stuff. And that kind of reminds me of how pervasive this is. Like, even when we play Call of Duty, if you think about it, you know, all jokes aside, that's us normalizing the military, right? Mm-hmm. It's us normalizing. Those games aren't too complicated. Like, it's not both of these forces have some willful things. There's no such thing as negotiations of duty, right? There's no game where you like sign a peace accord. Like, it's
we're not passing bills.
You killed a bad guy is the whole fucking problem, you know. And so
they don't show the conflict of the leaders and none of that shit,
right? The commercials, you know, normally show you killing some bad guys and liberating some indigenous people of brown descent somewhere else, right?
Come on, a lot of times they brown.
Very simplified, though. It's just very simplified is my point.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of the problem, is that we're trying to simplify things in order to have propaganda. So you got to stand for the national anthem. You got to salute the troops. You know, we went to so many Hornets games this year. And how many of them were, you know, stand for this veteran and this, it's very ingrained into our society. And then when you think about the secret money exchanging hands, so it's not even like a thing that, like, out of the goodness of their heart. It also wasn't always a thing.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's relatively recent that sports has started being like, let's put patriotism over it. Let's sprinkle some of this over it. Okay. So. Yeah, it kind of, you know, it just makes you think a lot, you know, and that's why I really like this book, by Howard Bryant, because it does kind of examine things that, you know, you can really take for granted.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that even people's quote unquote patriotism for the military is a lie. Because if people cared about people in the military like they should, you would care about the vets. You would care about them coming back and not having jobs. You would care about them coming back and having PTSD. You would care about them coming back and having disabilities. That's you would care about those things. Those things would be your top priority because they went out and they served you. They fought for your rights and your freedoms, the freedoms that you can have to go out in the street to be a dumbass and protect. That's what those people fought for. But no, it's all fake and it's not real.
Also, same thing with the police, right? Mm-hmm. Blue Lives Matter, until there were those protests this weekend, and the police came out to tell those white people, hey, you need to go home, you need social distance. And they were disrespecting the fuck out of those cops. They did not care about them lives at all. Those blue lives matter when they are taking black lives. They matter when they're harassing black people. They don't matter when they're in the way of white people. When white people have a will, then you better get out the way, you know? And that's one of the things that's been, you know, illuminated it, for those who may have not have understood it before, but it's been illuminated by these COVID protests. A lot of these people, one, the protests look very monochromatic, but then two, when they come out there, the disrespect that they have towards police officers is off the charts. I saw a video where one of them, there was like these kids at like a beach or something like that, and the police came out, or at a lake or a pier, and the police came out, the sheriff was like, hey, y'all gotta go in, and one of the kids pushed the sheriff into the water.
Right, because they don't respect what they do.
Yeah, because they don't respect it when it's against them.
Correct.
You know, Itwan, of course, no black person could ever act like that.
Itwan.
You know what I mean? Nobody, no black person could ever push a police officer to the water and live to tell that tale. But yeah, I saw that video. I was like, this shit is crazy. You know, that those videos like that are like when I used to watch the Crocodile Hunter fuck with animals. That's how I feel whenever I see a white person just like slap the shit out of a sheriff or you know, have a fair fight with them and try to go for their gun and don't get killed. I'm just like, boy, white people just no natural predators, not even the police. So
and it's one of those things where that you know, they tell you to go somewhere and shut up, nigga, when you be like, hey, y'all do know this is similar situations to this, but the reactions ain't the same. We crazy for bringing that up, right?
For noticing,
right? For just be like, hey, dog, why ain't y'all beating them upside the head? Butterfly in the sky,
I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow.
And my thing is not that you quote unquote want to get them see beat upside the head, but you go, well, the reaction ain't the same. Like, I'd rather you beat nobody, but hey.
I mean, we already played the reading rainbow music, so nothing you just say it counts, okay?
I don't care. I'm gonna say it anyway.
You have to get it in before the reading rainbow buzzer.
Nope, you started playing while I was talking anyway.
I couldn't make it stop. I tried. But yeah, I agree. It's crazy. It's not like I would have much rather see the police treat everybody humanely.
Right. That's my point.
You know. All right. Let's see. Where should we start? I do have some random thoughts.
Okay.
To go over. Let's see. We had a lot of stuff going on. Oh. I was watching some commercials during the Jordan documentary thing. I think parts 5 and 6 were last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched part 5 and then Insecure came on, so I'll finish part 6 later. But they had a lot of commercials that I've missed because, you know, sports isn't happening. And I noticed something. Chris Paul has a lot of things around his house getting broken.
His shit be getting, the deer fucked it up. Yes. Over the years I have watched, you have James Harden and them coming in and the mascot fucking his shit up. Yes, his house has been fucked up a lot.
I feel like maybe we should, I don't know, State Farm or the police or somebody should start investigating him for insurance fraud. There's a lot of coincidences happening specifically at his house.
Nobody else, none of the neighbors, nobody, just his house.
And he is the common denominator in all this shit, is that his house keep getting fucked up and he keep filing these insurance claims. And I feel like, you know, we know his brother works there, Cliff Paul.
Come on.
So I feel like it's some type of inside job and nobody's fucking talking about it. You know? So I'm curious is all I'm saying. Look into Chris Paul. If you listen to this, I'm trying to save you a lot of money, State Farm, okay? The call is coming from inside the insurance company. How long do y'all season your tub with Comet before actually cleaning it?
I'm lazy. Like I said, I need to clean my tub, but probably a day. Maybe two, because, you know, we got two tubs, so I get lazy and I'll be like, fuck it, I'll go to the other one.
I've heard anything from 5 to 10 minutes to as long as it takes me to.
You froze, baby.
I'm frozen? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Give me 1 second here. Thank you. All right, we got rudely interrupted, but we're back. But yeah, I was asking people on my Twitter and Facebook, like, how long do you season your tub with Comet before you actually clean it? And it was interesting. It was like no white people to answer that question.
Oh, they don't know nothing about seasoning no tub.
Is that only black people that season the tub with Comet and Ajax and shit, mm-hmm, before cleaning it?
Only black folks.
You know, people had different, you know, things.
Versions of it.
They was like, I make like a paste with some water and like spread it around, and then I go in to clean it. Some people was like, you know, I do it right after the shower because you got to preheat the tub,
right,
like an oven, and then sprinkle it in there.
Some people said it used to be a bleach on the tough spots.
Yeah, the bleach thing I'm a little hesitant about ever since I mix some bleach with some Pine Sol and some Comet, and I almost killed myself.
If you throw some ammonia in there, you really kill yourself with that.
Made some yellow mustard gas by accident. I was like, you know what?
Yes, I have almost died in the bathroom too. Cause you know, you're a kid, so you don't be thinking about ventilation and opening up windows and doors. You be having yourself in there, be done, pass the fuck out, wake up 20 minutes later. The hell happened?
Yeah, so that was the last time for that. Oh man, you know, all these white people going to the beach, and like, I know a lot of people are frustrated. I keep seeing everybody sharing the thing, like, oh man, it's so frustrating, these white people keep going to the beach, they don't give a fuck about the coronavirus, and once they found out it was mostly black people that could die at a higher rate, they was like, fuck it. And I don't ascribe to many conspiracy theories, but that's one of them.
I do believe that too.
I think white people did see black people were being the most affected, and it was like, oh well, fuck it, back to the beach. It's so weird too, if you see the videos, and this is such a weird pet peeve, and I know it's inconsequential in the big scheme of things, right? The point is they shouldn't be at the beach, but it bothers me to no end. They go to the beach, they not even having fun.
Cause they not even baking.
Huh?
They out there baking for no reason.
They not even doing fun shit though. Like, the whole point of leaving the house to go to the beach is for them to, like, you know, maybe to drink and, you know, throw around some beach balls and fucking swim in the ocean. They not doing none of the fun shit. They just going and standing and being like, you can't make me go home. And it's like, fam, you're at the beach. This is the least fun trip to the beach since fucking Jaws 2. Do beach shit. At least I would understand. At least when I see black people out doing shit, they like partying at the club, or they, you know what I'm saying, they buying crab legs or something that makes sense. That's why people really just out there to be like, nah, you can't tell me what to do. I will be at the beach. Okay, cool. So why do you want to go to the beach? Because it's my right. What are you gonna do at the beach? Be there. What the fuck is the point? Stay in the house for that shit. You could go stand on your patio for that. You're not doing nothing.
They don't care. Just don't tell them what to do. Lord, have mercy. White folks is the number one group of people. You tell them what to do, they're like, fuck it, I'm gonna do the opposite.
What a waste of sunscreen. I was looking at Cartoon Network, and there's this advertisement with Toucan Sam. And he comes in the living room and he's dancing. He's got some red headphones on,
mm-hmm,
and he got his eyes closed. And I looked at it too fast and I couldn't see his eyes because they were closed. And I saw red headphones on the side of his face and I thought they were his eyes. And he was dancing. And then like in the dance, he started having like visions and like fucking Fruit Loops was flying around in space and all this shit. And I was like, is this nigga high at work? When did we become so cool with weed?
I'm about to say, he always had work.
Well, I mean, not like that. Not with fiery red eyes.
You didn't see his eyes.
He for sure smoked something good. And I don't know when weed got so fucking cool with everybody. Like, I know it's been legalized in some places, but not every place. And certainly not for the kids. I was tripping. I was like, I've been indoors too long. I don't know why I thought that. My mind went there right away too. Not even like, Like, nah, that's ridiculous, right? Like, my mind was like that for 45 seconds. I was like, this is the craziest shit I ever seen in my life. Although, if you think about it, a lot of those kids, cereal commercials and shit, do feel like people being on drugs. So.
Yes, they do. What is it? The one with the leprechaun?
Yeah.
The kids be chasing after him. He be throwing marshmallows everywhere, and the kids can. Yeah, it's just him running around high.
The drug is sugar, I guess.
Yes, it is.
He was walking around like Toucan Sam's. Mm-hmm. Mr. Clark!
Tony the Tiger. Them kids ought to be scared of that goddamn tiger. But in this reality, no.
Now that we're living through the pandemic and you see all these protests at the beach and shit, I gotta say, man, as much as I love Marvel movies and as high as I rated Endgame, you know, not as high necessarily as Infinity War, but up there. I gotta say, y'all, I have to take it down a notch. Cause it's not really realistic. Now I know you're saying, Rod, it's about space aliens and shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's not, I'm saying they could have made it a little more real, because if they wanted to keep it kind of grounded in some reality, there would be a contingent of people who would have been marching with flags and camo and guns and vests and holding up signs like, let Thanos snap the glove.
Ah!
The Avengers are the real Nazis. Where are those people at?
I vote for Thanos.
Yeah, where are those people at? Because they definitely exist in real life. If this is the snap, if the coronavirus is the snap, it's some people out there rooting for the snap right now.
Mm-hmm.
What's so bad? I got good parking now. We really gonna bring all these people back? You know? Tony Stark trying to, he overstepping his bounds.
I vote Thanos in for a second term if I could.
You'll have people like the Avengers do a press conference and people will be like, I just fake news. I don't believe it. half of the world not missing.
They would say that. But sir, didn't you have a wife and kids? I don't know what you're talking about. They never existed.
Right. Who's that guy? The person that won the get rid of my spouse and kids do over lottery.
Come on.
Like, that's one thing they didn't address in the fucking movie. What happens when the motherfucker does, like, what if Clint would have been happy his wife and kids was gone and he went and got like a new family and shit, and they came back after the snap, he's like, oh fuck, oh honey, I thought
you was gone. I didn't know you was coming back.
I did.
You been gone, what, 5 years?
I just thought you had left me. I didn't realize, I mean, like, how many people was in the middle of a divorce, and then it was like, poof, divorce over, good, I'm gone, I'm clean.
Ooh, look at the money I saved.
Right, and then the other person coming back from 5 years in fucking exile and shit, you know, like, I know they said it went faster for them, but what if they come back and they be like, hey man, so, I think we could work this out. I've been thinking about it, and being snapped away by Thanos made me think we should do this for the kids. Who are these new people in my house?
Yeah, well, you know, all of a sudden you might have people just open to, like, Oprah, all these variations of family, Oprah relationships, and polygamy and all types of shit. Because it was like, I want everybody to be here.
What if you snap during the results being read on Maury, and you come back, and now the baby 5 years old? You know, baby 5 years old, and you are not the father. Then you got to do the dance, but it's all late because the dance ain't even cool no more because it's a 5-year-old dance.
Yes, a 5-year-old dance.
People got new
dances
now. I'm saying
you can't do. You don't even know how to do the Fortnite dance.
It's a lot of shit going on out there. So it turns.
What about the people that had planned on murdering their spouses and shit, and they just poof disappeared?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those investigation shows.
That's what I'm saying. Well, who went to prison for killing somebody that didn't do it?
Come on,
your wife been missing for 5 years. What if that's what happened to Carol Baskin's husband? You know, like, he got snapped. It's like, this nigga actually alive. Gotta wait for him to come back. You know, wait till the Hulk get the glove, and then we'll see where this nigga really went. I'm just saying.
We'll see.
So while we was gone and off the air or whatever over the weekend, the news came out that Kim Jong-un is still actually alive.
Are you alive and kicking?
Mm-hmm. And that's why I gotta say, I don't believe nothing that comes out of North Korea until it's confirmed by Dennis Rodman.
Cause he be knowing.
Mm-hmm. Kim Dennis Rodman will tell you for a fact if he's dead or not. So until we hear from him, I'm just ignoring everything that comes out of there. I'm false alarm. Okay, Dennis would have known if that was his buddy, and he would let us know, you know, like he'd say, hey, my buddy's dead and he was a great man, he loved basketball, you know. But yeah, we didn't get that, so everybody gotta chill out. All right, let's get to the coronavirus news. Karen, let's take a moment to Karen right now. Go ahead.
One thing I wanted to say, and I thought this was funny, I lost my retainer, y'all. For how long I've been looking for that retainer? Like a week,
something like that. Yeah,
a week, and I couldn't find it nowhere, y'all. I'm hunting through the hamper, I'm hunting through clothes on the chair, I couldn't find that thing nowhere. And finally I just gave up, and Roger had found it. Apparently I decided to need a washer, tumble in the dryer, because he found it in the clothes and it's broken now. So now I gotta get a placement retainer.
Yep,
that's it. Oh, one more thing. Mm-hmm. And also I know I've said this before, but I really do like the Ring. I like it a lot.
The Ring doorbell.
Yeah, not the ring. But I like it because I like to see the delivery people coming and dropping the stuff off, and you can see the UPS people come. So when they come, you can actually pick your stuff up quicker too.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. Like, it's okay, but I don't like the fact that I don't know. It sounds too much. Maybe one day they'll sponsor the show and then I have to be like, no, I love it. But some about it makes me feel like it makes people paranoid, like constantly checking that shit, because it's always like, hey, somebody in front of your house. It's like, oh shit. And it's like, it's the UPS man. It's like, oh, okay, cool. It's your neighbor. Oh, okay, cool. Like, I don't know, like that happens way more than someone breaking in your house, you know what I mean?
Correct.
And then there's this other part of the app that I fucking hate. This is tab for like all the crime going on in your neighborhood.
I don't know. I think we could turn that off.
Mm-mm, you can't.
You tried?
You can't turn it off, Karen. And this is what they want you to experience, okay? They want you to know about the crime going on so that you're scared, you know? And then people leave random comments on there, and then like people respond to the comments and leave replies. And it's all to make you scared. It's all to make you be like, I need the ring to be attached to a gun and automatically kill people outside my house, because the people is coming, they're coming for my shit, y'all, we gonna die.
I don't think that at all,
you know. People keep posting the stuff on the neighbors. It's like, I saw these people, they came by my house and they asked for a cup of milk, clearly they trying to kill me. And I looked at the videos, it's just like two black people like, hey man, y'all got some milk? Mm-hmm, they up to something. All the comments, I don't like it. Look at this.
Okay, I guess
gunshots, lots of gunshots again, sounded like a war. 15 reply comments. Could it be police train academy?
Because the area,
there goes the neighborhood,
the area is really big. I didn't realize the black
neighborhood.
the square, whatever, is like a really wide radius. I was like, good god, that's a wide radius.
This not an area I would ever invest in. Well then get out, gentrifier. Yeah, heard it, hope everyone's okay. Shaking my head, they'll say shit like this. No one got killed, no one got shot, y'all, not on the news, didn't make no crime statistics, nothing happened. That just, I don't know if it's just some asshole shooting off guns in the air or what, but no, everything's fine. There was no war on our street.
Yeah, I guess we need to change. Like, if somebody was saying the sensitivity or something like that, where it don't pick up everything.
You did change it. That's Karen, listen, okay? You don't have to defend this. You're not a bad person. But this is a paranoid app. It's supposed to make you feel paranoid.
Oh.
So that you rely on it every day to like look at it. That's what it's done. That's why I got that weird fisheye lens, and it turns real dark gray and black and white to make everything look like a crime.
Like everything do look like a crime. Even we look like criminals coming in and out our own house.
I mean, they go to leave a package at Amazon, it's look like the motherfucking case in your house. That's the whole point.
Let me see what's in there.
I don't know if I'm with this, man.
well, we got mixed reviews, because I actually like it.
Everything on, y'all look at any of the Ring videos on TV and on Twitter and all this stuff that people post, everything look like a crime. And then it's also weird because people take like the Ring videos and they post them online. Like, I seen one of an Amazon person dancing, doing hopscotch after he handed off a package. And someone put the video online, and I was like, did he consent to this? Did he get paid? Like, it just make us feel like everything is ours to just, I don't know. Something about it is philosophically not right. But, you know, if you're nosy, it definitely helps. If you just want to see people walking down your street all the time, mm-hmm. It helps.
I just want to know when a UPS man and when the food being delivered. That's it.
Mm-hmm. It helps with that stuff too, but I'm just saying. It's a lot.
That's true. I'm not into it like that. I could give
it. Okay, you get really defensive over there. I'm gonna move on. Sorry for trying to make jokes.
I am sensitive about my shit.
I didn't know you invented the ring over there. Just moving on. Missouri governor says concerts can resume on Monday. Oh wait, I didn't even find a coronavirus song.
Oh shit! Yeah, find a song.
I was trying to, but you know, Karen.
I got y'all just distracted with the ring conversations.
Okay. Let me see. How about this one? By Milano Dadon.
Spreading. You can say that it's COVID-19, not the virus. This year I'm trending. Let me just kill this track, spill these cracks, and I'm on to the next thing. But let's take this thing serious, please stay safe.
Oh, this some of that grind.
Love to the families who've been affected. Spreading. You can say that it's COVID-19, not a virus. This year
I'm
trending.
Like English.
Let me just kill these tracks, spill these cracks, and I'm on to the next thing. This thing serious, please stay safe and don't get infected. All right. Listen, now what will I do when the weekend's the Premier League?
Oh, hold up. My bad. I said it was Milo Dadon. It's not. It's Sykes is his name. And it's called Spreading Coronavirus. Okay, now back to it.
Cooled off till next month, no footy on the weekends. Shout out to all of my ballers, you caught that tinker, it's mad when you deep it. Especially all of my gunners, big up Arteta, I couldn't believe it. Oh my god, 2020, what a start to the year we've had. Some people are saying it's dead, some people are saying it ain't that bad. I've got my conspiracies, but if I speak, I'm in trouble, the kid isn't trying to get back. But a little flu won't hurt me, either way, I'm trying to run to the bag. Damn, wash your hands. Don't touch me, please. Please don't hug me, please don't spot me, please don't touch me, we are not G's. And even if we were, we can make a handshake using our feet. We can make a handshake using elbows, knees. I ain't trying to catch a disease. I ain't trying to catch no virus. Please don't come around me. Hoodies up in the bus. If I hear someone cough or sneeze, dead. Please don't cough for me. Sneeze, but don't get snot on me. That might lead to quarantine. Bear pagans trying to plot on me. Bear man trying to call shots on me. They say I touch bees with a major cause. Not dead. I say it's minor. And corona was not a surprise. Why? Because everything's made in. And I knew it was coming from time. Barely anything gets by me. Even Simpson said it was coming, and this was back in 1993. Like Rudy Gobert, I can't get enough for touching mics. Now the NBA's been suspended, what will I watch on Sunday nights? But it's not about me, it's about the people. Boris is a joke, he won't close schools, the government's evil. Spreading. You can say that it's COVID-19, that the virus this year I'm trending. Let me just kill this track, spill these facts, and I'm on to the next thing. But let's take this thing serious, please stay safe and don't get infected. Love to the families who've been affected.
I forget what beat he took from, but not bad.
I like that accent.
He had some grind bars, okay? He reminded me of our girl. What was her name?
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Queen LaShore, I think it was her name, Queen LaShore, my girl.
Yes.
So, all right, let's get to some of these articles. Missouri governor says concerts can resume Monday, but inside the venue they have to practice social distancing, according to them.
The fuck is this? Who the hell is going to a concert? Concerts ain't gonna be back for a hot minute.
Let's say you do go to a concert, because I think people are gonna do stuff. Yeah, Lady LaShore, I say Queen, my bad. Let's say that you do go to the concert, because hey, it's open, so some people are gonna go.
Right.
We've seen people go to the beach, right?
Yes.
Here's my question. How can a concert venue truly make enough money with, you know, the capacity being so sparse? Because if you're gonna have it where they gotta be 6 feet apart between people and all this shit, I don't know how you do that.
Mm-mm. I still make a profit.
Yeah, and
that's why a lot of concerts just got canceled. People like a lot of them. And the thing is, you can open it up, but most of the artists are like, I'm not going fucking on stage to have people breathe towards me.
What artists are going to make that money? Because let's say you are an artist and you go, I need the money. I have to do this, I have to do this. It's probably gonna be local artists more than your bigger national tour people. But let's say that you're a local artist and you go do this, right? How much money can you make with, you know, one out of every four seats full as opposed to every seat available?
Yeah, and the way, and venues are kind of chopped all over the place. So let's say you have these venues where you have, let's say 6 feet might be one, let's say 4 or 5 people per row, and then you have to skip a row or two, and then another 4 or 5 people. Like, if right. you're really doing the 6 feet.
And where the, and where, like, yeah, just, and like, what does this mean for my ticket? You know, like, how y'all honoring and numbering the ticket system? Like, it just seemed like, you know, and that's before you get to the fact that, you know, the people that come out, how many people is it going to be necessarily? Because I'm assuming the vast majority of people still stay at home, you know.
Even for some people to go, even if they took a loss on the ticket, like itself, they go, I'm not going out there to die for these tickets. I am good.
Crowds gather to buy new Air Jordans in Atlanta after lockdown lifted. Yeah, it's from a reseller, so it's not Nike, so you can't be like, why did Nike do this? Nike didn't do this.
That won't make sense.
Now, also, let me say, too, though, I was thinking about this, because they have a picture, no one's social distancing, all that shit. But also, in the last article, who's going to be the artist that would want to take that heat? Because, you know, the one, if a major artist says, I'm putting on a concert, people are going to give them heat. You know, the only people I can think of is maybe like the MAGA country music crowd people. Maybe they could do some type of fake patriotism type thing. Like, we.
But yeah, they're going to get in that social distance. But yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's people standing in line for Jordans. Who knows what kind of. I was waiting for the self-hate Olympics to start on that one. I know the engines was raring, but it seemed to be pretty cool, at least from the people I seen on social media. Who knows what other niggas were saying. Theaters are preparing to reopen with the TSA style check-in and temperature screenings and plexiglass.
I'm good. I'm not going back no time soon.
Me and Karen love the theater.
Y'all, when I tell y'all we love, I have missed the motherfucking theater so goddamn much. It was so many movies that was supposed to come out. I was like, let's go see Black Widow. I know how y'all feel about ScarJo, but I was excited about that motherfucking movie. Everything got pushed back. No Fast and Furious, you know, no 007. Everything got pushed back. We love the motherfucking movies.
Right. And so... I do miss going. It was like our Thursday night tradition. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, we'll go on a Thursday night and, you know, watch a movie and come back and review it and stuff like that. And it's not the same even watching at the house, because we have movies here, but, you know, it's different watching on your couch and then trying to review it. Although we could do that.
Yes.
But Kara's too busy playing her farm game.
I need to break. I'm sorry. That's my bad, y'all.
Nope. You don't need to apologize. I understand. Like, you don't, everybody in this pandemic together. Everybody.
Because that's
like,
my way of coping.
I haven't really read as many long form prose books since it shut down. So I think everybody's in different ways. But anyway, my point is, they were like, yeah, so we're gonna have TSA style check-in, temperature screenings. Y'all, am I the only one that knows what asymptomatic means? Like, if they don't have, like, you can not have symptoms and still fucking, you know, go to these things and be spreading coronavirus, still be shedding coronavirus, so you might not have a temperature.
And my thing is this. So you're going to ask people, did y'all underpay anyway? Because you read articles about how much y'all underpaying. You're paying somebody $7 and some change an hour. If y'all not paying them hazardous pay to force them to come back to work. You're probably not working full capacity of your staff. You're asking these people to actually do a TSA training. The same people who, like, work the registers and do the food and shit like that. You're asking some of those same people to do this. I don't see this being going down well. And what's going to happen, a lot of these movie theaters are going to have outbreaks in the movie theaters where the staff is going to, because it's asymptomatic. You send everybody home. Mm-hmm. You don't know who's coming back because they have to, and sick and trying to hide their sickness and all types of shit for money. You don't know.
Right. So it just seems very short-sighted.
Correct. Then they're gonna fuck around and shut down again, and somebody gonna catch the virus, and then they're gonna sue the movie theaters. Why do it? Why?
Black people are 4 times more likely to know someone who has died of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Which goes along with everything we've been talking about on the show. The new normal, Delta, American, and United joined airlines requiring passengers to wear face masks. So this is going to be the new thing is everyone has to wear a face mask on the plane. Now, the thing I find interesting here is that they're running into people who literally are getting violent at being told to wear a mask. What are you going to do when it's on the airline? What are you going to do?
I guess they're not going to be able to fly.
At the airport. Like, how are they going to handle this stuff? Because some people seem to be willfully, defiantly not wearing masks. Like, this, like, I feel like we're going to have a second wave.
We are.
And I feel like the second wave is going to happen not just because we were going to have it anyway, but it's going to be exacerbated by the people who willfully feel like they're fighting some type of freedom battle to be like, I won't wear a mask, I won't cooperate with any smart scientific social distancing rules, I'm American and I'm gonna do whatever I want to do. Like, it feels like it's a lot of that, and that shit right there is more scary than anything else. Like, you know, it's stuff that I'm still pushing back on my calendar because I'm like, it's not just that I'm afraid of, like, say a workplace, like say you need to go to the dentist. I'm not worried that the fucking actual dentist is gonna be in there like, we don't have no safety procedures, we try to give people coronavirus. No, they might follow the right procedures, they might do all the right things, right? But I can't trust that the other people that go to the dentist didn't go to coronavirus party Thursday and now they in the dentist on Friday morning. Because these Americans don't have badges on them, they don't have fucking t-shirts that say, hey, I went to the coronavirus party last night. They don't say that. So you're gonna have to deal with that shit, you know, at your grocery store is already enough, at your pharmacy is already enough, at the doctor's office is already, like, so you're gonna have people that really don't give a fuck and don't care if they make people sick. And that is the thing that makes me go, yeah, I'm gonna continue to do this quarantine thing until I see for sure that we have some trends trending down.
Yeah, it's not trending down and staying down.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And that's the thing, because I had an appointment. I mean, you talked about it. It was in 2 days. I was like, yeah, I go. Then I thought about it. I was like, because they called from a number that I wasn't familiar with, and y'all know me, I'm black. I'd be like, who the fuck is this? And I didn't answer.
Black people love that.
Look at, like, who calling me? Who? You better text. And they said on a message, they was like, wear a mask and all that stuff. And I was like, maybe. Then I talked to you about it. I was like, because I'm guarantee you everybody in there ain't wearing masks. And somebody said in the chat, what do you do if people wear the mask to get on the plane, take it off and refuse to put it back on? Like, so now you're gonna have all these planes in the air having to do these emergency landings and turning around and shit because you're gonna have motherfucker acting a fool on the plane.
Yep. The iPhone is gonna do an update to help people unlock their iPhones when they have the face mask on. Instead of, basically, it's not gonna make it so you can just unlock it with just your eyes. What it's gonna do is make it easier to swipe up from the bottom and put in your code, passcode, like the old school.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, which we're gonna need. If the new normal's gonna be face mask in public.
Yeah, so the facial thing, I might as well turn that off because it ain't recognizing nothing.
Yeah. There was previously a spike in deaths and cases flagged as pneumonia earlier this year that may show that COVID-19 was here earlier than people thought and had a bigger impact than people thought.
Because the symptoms are the same, and the public and doctors and the people that needed to know were not, they didn't know what they were fighting against.
Yeah, and I've heard people talk about, you know, like, so what they do is there's this number called they're just doing this thing called excess deaths where they take like the average amount of deaths normally around this time of the year, and they're looking back at trends over the last few years and being like, wait, the amount of deaths that were happening are up even before COVID-19 diagnoses and testing and all that stuff was happening in America. Like, more people were dying of these type of illnesses that could have been COVID-19, because we found out you can have a heart attack, you can have a stroke, you can get pneumonia. People were misdiagnosed as a flu,
blood clots.
blood clots, all these things. And so, yeah, it's interesting that people are being like, wait a minute, these excess deaths might be COVID-19 related, and it might mean that we have even higher body count than we think we do. The White House is blocking Fauci from testifying before Congress about coronavirus response.
Of course, because he's going to tell the truth.
Yep. It's interesting, man. My man Steve White was saying that him and Dr. Birx are cowards, essentially, even if people think they're like heroes and stuff, because basically they still, I don't know, like Trump says shit and they still are kind of like polite about it, and then they try to correct it on the record later.
And my thing is this, people that say that, don't you have a boss? Everybody got a boss, right? Everybody got a boss, so you might not always agree with them, but you ain't trying to lose your job. Like, yeah, he is at work.
I won't lie, I'm conflicted over it, because I do feel what he's saying, which is, you know, we are making them heroes because the bar is so low for Trump.
Agreed.
It's the same thing that happened with George W. Bush. And I do understand the people that are like trying to keep that same energy, but you lost that fight. The second that Trump was elected, the two things were going to happen for sure. Because he's the worst president of all time. One, Barack Obama's legacy is now cemented. It will never, you'll never be able to tarnish that man. No matter what you think he could have done better on, no matter, you can call him a war criminal, all that shit, no one gives a fuck what you have to say anymore, because you immediately followed him with someone who does everything that he did that you didn't like, he does it worse. And everything that he did that you thought was good or what you were supposed to do is being stripped away by this administration right now. So you just basically made this man a god. Even though you know, many people claim that they didn't like him or he made mistakes too and shit. Well, that ship sailed. The second thing they did, they essentially made people like George W. Bush and every other, you know, terrible Republican president that we don't fuck with, you also boosted them. So now people not gonna keep, cause humans are the humans. And as much as people would like to live in this world where everyone is like a static figure and I rated this president a 5 and for the rest of my life he's a 5, that's not how it's gonna work, because everything's comparative. Until you knew shit could be even worse than that, you thought that was the worst, right? That's what it is. It's like pain, right? It's like if you get injured and you hurt your finger and you go, ow, this is the worst fucking pain I've ever been in my life. You get injured later and you hurt your wrist and you go, the fucking finger pain wasn't even that bad. That's what happened now. People are like, so now George Bush is a hero because he came out and put out a statement saying we all need to have unity. And people are like, fuck that, you can't say that. That motherfucker did this, that, and the other. It don't matter, dog. It's over. You lost. You can't get that time back. This motherfucker that bad. Trump that bad that people are now like wistful for the days of George W. Bush, you know, the ineptitude,
right. And he was not the best.
The ineptitude and corruption with a smile, they like that better. And it, God forbid if you don't like Obama, it's definitely over for that shit. I don't want to hear that shit. At least the nigga was trying to do the right shit. He, you know, no one could do the right thing every fucking time, but guess what, Trump is doing the wrong thing every time, you know. So that's where we at anyway. Homicide detectives investigate the death of a man who drank chloroquine because they think he could have been killed. Yeah, this could be an episode of Snapped, y'all. He's a 68-year-old Mississippi man who drank chloroquine phosphate to stave off coronavirus. Gary Lenius died March 22nd when his wife Wanda said she served him a mixture of soda and the chemical typically used to clean fish tanks after hearing President Donald Trump tout it as a potential cure for the deadly global pandemic. Lenius became sick and suffered immediate effects just 30 minutes after ingesting the chemical and was admitted to Banner Health Hospital, where he died. Wanda Lenius, 61, also became ill from the chloroquine phosphate, but she recovered. But according to the Free Beacon, her husband's friends grew suspicious of the incident, citing a rocky relationship with his wife.
Oh, so they saying that she might have tried to just kill him.
I've been waiting on people to do some of these COVID murders. I've been waiting on it. Mm-mm. We already had that one dude that tried to disappear his wife and say text from her phone, like, yes, the COVID girl, I don't know if I'm gonna make it.
You think some of these shows, Lifetime, gonna, or one of these shows gonna get on it called COVID Murders, and they're gonna go around and dig up all the people that try to kill they made up of COVID-19?
I just know it's definitely gonna be an episode of Snapped at some point, because these, mm-hmm, these is white people,
a whole series.
So it's definitely gonna be an episode of Snapped, because this is the kind of shit I was waiting on. What bothers me about this is that Gary was a very intelligent man, a retired mechanical engineer who designed systems for John Deere in Waterloo, Iowa, and I really can't see the scenario where Gary would say, yes please, I would love to drink some of that koi fish tank cleaner, one friend told the outlet. It just doesn't make sense. Friend said Wanda Linnaeus typically berated her husband in public and was charged with assault in 2001 for allegedly hitting her husband with a birdhouse.
Goddamn, a whole birdhouse?
Although Linnaeus declined to press charges. In an interview with the Free Beacon, she said her decision to give her husband a lethal concoction was really kind of a spur of the moment thing. She said both she and her husband took one teaspoon and some soda, which is at least four times the lethal limit. Mesa City police declined to comment on the investigation, but told the paper that the probe was normal protocol for non-natural deaths, and noted the case has been a homicide at this time. So yeah, I've been waiting on this, and then the other one, I mean, it's just really sitting out there for any of these young women that are dating these old ass rich men. I don't know how they haven't just tried to get the coronavirus and go home and cough on this nigga. I don't know. I mean, if you're in the wheel, you know what I mean? Like, once you sure you're in the wheel, I don't know how that's not happening. It seems like all the cat daddies and fucking
should be scared.
Oh yeah. Like, I would be like, I'm isolating by myself. Nah, I don't even need no pussy till this vaccine is invented, because you never know which one of these enterprising young ladies is going to be like, yeah, you thought?
Come on.
Okay, I would Instagram.
You trying to get that bag, your bag.
You going to fly me out, and I'm going to be out here coughing. Let's see. New unemployment claims reach 4.4 million in a week. Madonna says she's breathing in COVID-19 air after she tested positive for having the antibodies. So this is the thing that is kind of weird here, because the Center for Disease Control is like, just because you had the antibodies, we don't know for sure that makes you immune to the virus, and we also don't know how long that would make you immune to the virus, because there's so much we're still trying to learn about this. And Madonna was like, rolling the windows down, going out to COVID-19 shopping, I don't give a fuck. So I guess be careful, man. Mm-hmm. You never fucking, like, I think that's the thing with the antibody test. A lot of people gonna take it as a get out of jail free card, and we're gonna start hearing random shit like, well, this person somehow got it again or whatever. Let's see, the FDA may approve emergency use they did approve emergency use of a Ebola drug, remdesivir, because they were saying that it was helping patients go from relying on oxygen to leaving the hospital within 2 weeks. What's more, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, called the results of another study conducted by the National Institutes of Health very optimistic. The NIH trial is separate from Gilead's own trial, and details have not yet been officially released, though Dr. Fauci said that 8% of the remdesivir group died, compared to 11% in the placebo group. However, he said he has no time limit on when the FDA might approve. I think they already did, though.
My thing is, when they do this, I feel for the people that are using these drugs, because all of a sudden the people that use the drug all of a sudden might not have it, it might mm-hmm. be sold out, they can't get their hands on it.
Here's one for the old herd immunity crowd. Sweden and Denmark took very different approaches to fighting the coronavirus, and the data shows that more people are dying in Sweden. Now, we talked about Sweden, I think, 2 weeks ago, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Ain't they the ones that was like, we not social, everybody around them shut down?
Was like, we're gonna make it so that, like, so you social distance as far as, like, if you're old or you have a pre-existing condition, but everybody else just go about your business. And so, you know, still very early, but right now it looks like Sweden is having more people die.
Then everybody around them to shut their doors.
Right. The Danes were the first to go in Europe to go into lockdown. Sweden opted for herd immunity approach, making it one of the few advanced economies in the world to do so. There was no strict lockdown and social distancing was recommended but not dictated. A visiting ban at care homes was introduced at the beginning of April to protect the elderly. Gatherings of more than 50 people were prohibited, and universities and colleges were recommended to offer remote learning. But otherwise, life carries on essentially unchanged. Most schools, restaurants, bars, clubs, and gyms are open. People are practicing social distancing. A lot has been said and written about Sweden's strategy. Its outlier status has been met with horror by some, curiosity by most, and applause by those pressing their own governments to lift restrictions that are having a destructive effect on economies and societies. With the leaders of the UK, the US, and other countries under increasing pressure to scale back their lockdowns, the question of whether Sweden's approach is working is of international concern. So BuzzFeed News did like a study, and the answer is not encouraging. We found that the country recorded a record number of excess deaths in the first 3 weeks of April. In the 21 days before April 19th, 7,169 people died, which is up 1,843 more than the average number of deaths during that same time between 2015 and 2019. That's the equivalent of a 34.5% increase.
Ooh, that's a jump.
Yeah, and on Monday, the Swedish statistics office said the number of deaths recorded in the weekend ending April 12th was the highest this century, surpassing a milestone set in the first week of 2000 when 2,364 people died. Three of the 4 weeks with the highest death tolls in the past two decades have occurred this month.
You don't say.
A bridge away in Denmark, the numbers tell a very different story. Statistics Denmark recorded 201 extra deaths over the same 3 day compared to a 5 day average, which is an uptick of 6.5%. So Denmark does extreme social distancing as from the jump. 6.5% excess deaths are happening in their country right now. Sweden, universal healthcare, does not. They have a 34.5% jump in excess deaths because they are going to go herd immunity on them. I also was reading something else today that said even with herd immunity, like that people want to do in America, it will take as long to get herd immunity in America as it would to get a virus, and way more people would, I mean, get a vaccine, and way more people would die. It would still take at least a year for us to get 2/3 of the population or whatever it is, 70%, that have it so that we have herd immunity. That's insane.
Yeah, you're gonna overload the hospitals. It's gonna be fucking chaos.
Right. So I don't know, man. I would feel bad if I was a citizen of Sweden and I felt like maybe they're using us as this petri dish or this, right, like, you know, the placebo group, while every other country is like, yeah, we should not do that.
Mm-mm. And the places around them be like, you better not bring your fucking asses over here,
right?
Because everybody around them shut that they close all the doors and the windows and be like, y'all keep that bitch over there in Sweden.
And New York passed a law on Thursday ending the vaccination exemptions for religious reasons. Like, you, no more of that. You gotta get the vaccine,
right? Because they're having outbreaks in these areas. And then didn't you read an article, I may have seen online, where a rabbi died and like thousands of people went there? The nigga died of the coronavirus and y'all out there.
Yeah, I don't know about I don't know if I don't think I read that one.
But yeah, it was a rabbi that died of the coronavirus. They gave a funeral and it was like hundreds of them, I think like close to 1,000 of them.
Oh yeah, police like had the to come Hasidic and Jews and stuff.
Break that shit up, be like, the fuck is this? Get out of here.
Yeah, I saw that on I think I heard that on Keith and the Girl or saw it on TV. But yeah, man, it's like I said, people just doing whatever the fuck they want to do right now. All right, that's the coronavirus news. Let's get into some other news, guys. Beyonce Savage remix.
I heard.
Yeah, and she murked it. You know, she was rapping. And, you know, to me, she's the best rapper of all time. That quick.
Come on.
Only took about
bars.
Like 10 songs, and, you know, now I'm like best rapper in the game. And she was on her shit, dropping them capitalist bars. I love when she's dropping all the bars, exposing these Twitter fake woke motherfuckers for how fake they are.
You can't cut just her piece out, huh?
I mean, she's all over the track, so it's not really like
Because I haven't heard the entire song. I just heard.
Oh, you haven't heard it? What?
I've heard like bits and pieces of her rapping, kind of floating online. Hmm.
How are you even a fan? Wow.
You look.
Wow, sis. But yeah, she was just talking about, you know.
Wanna smoke with me? Okay. Then turn this motherfucker up 800 degrees. My whole team eat chefs cause she's a treat. She's so bougie, bon appetit. I'm a savage, had a tooth nasty. Talk big shit, but my bank account match it. Hood, but I'm classy. Rich, but I'm ratchet. Haters kept my name in they mouth, not a gagging. Bougie. He say the way that thing move is a movie. I told that boy we gotta keep it lowly, me the room key. I done bled the block and now it's hot, bitch, I'm toonchi. I'm mood and I'm moody. I'm a savage. Clap bougie, ratchet. Sassy, moody, hey. Acting stupid, what's happening? What's happening? Bitch, I'm a savage. Classy, bougie, ratchet. Sassy, moody, nasty. Stupid, what's happening? What's happening? Hips, tick-tock, when I dance. On that demon time, she might start her OnlyFans.
So that line right there, you know, tick-tock, when I, hips, tick-tock, when I dance, at demon time, which, live, it was funny because people was like, alright, I just gotta ask, what is demon time? But demon time is real simple. It's just when people go on Instagram when they have like those strip club type things on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's just that, like, it's late at night, you know, it's like the demon, it's demon time, you know. But
you know how y'all mama used to tell y'all don't no good happen at midnight,
and they was lying. Yeah, it's the demon emoji, demon time. But anyway, that line about OnlyFans actually made OnlyFans see a spike in traffic following the shout out from Beyonce.
Come on, people started their own pages.
I don't know if they started their own pages or just more people went to look at what was happening on OnlyFans. Okay. And sign up and stuff. And the thing I was gonna say about it is, I know some people were like really taking it as offensive when people would make that, either make that joke or be like, I'm gonna start an OnlyFans or whatever. People are like, oh, so there's real sex workers and y'all wanna hear that bullshit. And I feel y'all on that. But Beyonce doing that literally is putting money in some people's pockets.
Yes, it is.
You know, because it's that thing where it becomes legit because she said it's legit. Like, before that, we could really, oh, these whores and these sluts and don't, if, oh, you pay for porn, you pay for OnlyFans, and now it's gonna be people out there like, I'm signing up for this shit. Not because they think Beyonce got an account, but because, you know, her saying it makes it an okay thing to say.
Yeah, and also, the thing is, yes, people pay for it. People have always paid for sex in various different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, but it's just, you know, it's like how Pornhub used to be a thing where people were like, Pornhub, oh, no. And then, and now it's in every joke, every, you know, reference, every, you know, it's, you know, it makes news and then it becomes legit for a lot of people. It's like, oh yeah, there's nothing wrong with having, you know, going to watch a video on Pornhub. And I think that's kind of what she did for OnlyFans in a way, you know?
Yeah, and for some reason, I gotta get used to say the OnlyFans. I guess I'm fans only, so for me, I kind of mix the words up, but I understand what it means now.
Yeah. But yeah, so that line led to a spike in traffic, and they CEO was like, we appreciate it.
Shout out to her.
Yep. But yeah, it was, and then she was dropping them capitalist bars too.
And that B stand for bands if you wanna.
Mm-hmm. Big B and that B stand for bands. Talking about money. And, it was cool to see all these, people that pretend to be socialist black people going up for how she be talking about getting all this money and only giving it for her kids and black wealth and shit. So, I always love that dichotomy. I just be sitting on Twitter smiling like, y'all can fool them white folks with that shit, but you can't fool me, niggas. Oh, we love to see people getting money. Just for 1 second, people had to stop hating.
Some real ass, baby, here's your chance. I say left cheek.
Oh, and she said, if you want to see some real ass and baby, here's your chance. That also exposed the phonies, because I remember when Kendrick said he wanted a woman with some stretch marks and some real ass, and people was like, what the fuck, Kendrick? So what now? women with fake asses have to be judged by the, and it's like, okay, y'all know what he was trying to say. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the worst fucking thing in the world. Mm-mm. There's a million different fucking I like fake ass women songs. There's a million, you know, Instagram accounts. There's a million Kardashian stands that go up for that, and this one dude decides like, yeah, I'm actually I have a different preference. I want somebody, you know, with a natural, like the afro on Richard Pryor. It was like, fuck him, you misogynist piece of shit. I'm like, well, every hip hop act is pretty much misogynist, men and women included, but okay.
Right.
And yeah, I love how Beyonce be exposing it, because motherfuckers all of a sudden was like, yes, if you want some real ass, that's what I'm saying. These fake bitches is out here. I was like, nobody's going to write the intersectional think piece about how she is shaming women for making other choices with their bodies. None of that? Mm-mm, okay, mm-mm, cool. Mm-mm.
Dance on that demon time. She might start her OnlyFans. Big B and that B stand for bands. If you wanna see some real ass, baby, here's your chance. Say left cheek, right cheek, drop it low and swing. Texas up in this thing, put you up on this game. I be parking my frame, gang, 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 gang. If you don't jump to put jeans on, baby, you don't feel my pain. Please don't give me hype. Write my name in ice. Can't argue with these lazy bitches. I just raised my price. I'm a boss. I'm a leader.
Wow, she really raised her price, and that's just capitalism, y'all. Y'all be falling for that shit.
Yes, she did. She said, you don't jump to put your jeans on, you can't feel my pain.
And she called y'all lazy bitches, and y'all just gonna let that stand, y'all.
I am a lazy bitch compared to Beyonce. Yes,
wow.
I am.
Wow.
I will take that insult.
That's
loving my two-seater, and my mama was a savage. Nigga got this shit from Tina. I'm a savage. Yeah. Classy, bougie, ratchet.
Anyway, so yeah, she hooked all her OnlyFans up by just dropping a bar.
Mm-hmm. And they actually took the proceeds from this song. It's actually helping people in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Classic black capital, taking all the money and giving it away to help people deal with coronavirus and feed people and shit. And of course, you suckers fell for it, because y'all not woke as me. Okay, I'm woke enough to know to hate black people for trying to do stuff like
don't
this.
Don't y'all pay him no attention.
They used money to do this, and we of all course. Know that if you don't do this shit in some type of barter and trade system in a commune, your ass is a black capitalist, and I can't stand you, okay? Gabrielle Union explains how stopping work is affecting black entertainers. Most of us are 1 to 2 paychecks away from not being able to pay for our things. Okay. Karen, you seem to agree with that. Gabrielle Union explains how stopping work is affecting black entertainers. The coronavirus pandemic has caused a lot of job uncertainty for many people. According to Gabrielle Union, black entertainers are no exception. She said, for the most certainly black entertainers, black celebrities, we don't really, for all the Oprahs and the people who just have a lot of money, most of us are 1 or 2 checks away from not having money to pay for all of our things. You know what I mean? So this stoppage of work and money has impacted marginalized celebrities the most. You know, like all these influencers you see who take all the trips, they're in Dubai 1 week and they're in London the next week and in Paris the next week, and they seem to be everywhere. They may not have a lot of liquid income, and you can charge your rent. You have to pay your rent. So if you don't have the opportunity to do all the things you need to do to be the influencer, your money's funny. And if your money is funny, you don't have much of anything.
Right.
And of course, you know, people was mad.
Because she's talking about people that might not be herself.
People
she,
like,
she care.
People's like, Gabrielle, you ain't got money. Shut the fuck up.
You know what, people? I had to be like this. You niggas is killing me with this bullshit. Where anytime a celebrity, they're doing these things, we need your help too. Everybody just flips the fuck out. But a lot of times when they ask people to give, they're actually giving a lot too. They're like, I'm giving, I need your help in addition to that. So I'm tired of y'all niggas acting like these celebrities are like the worst fucking people in the goddamn world, because they have.
Yeah, it was good to watch this, because it was kind of that thing where I've been saying on the show for a while, the vibe doesn't sit right. I don't believe all these people are suddenly anti-capitalist. I also don't believe all these people are gonna eat the rich and all this shit. I think a lot of it is jealousy and envy and anxiety for dealing with our shit. The way that white people have economic anxiety, but we actually talk about it, and we have to use it to give cover for shit that they are just racist and fucked up about. A lot of people are using this economic anxiety to cover up a lot of jealousy and a lot of envy of these celebrities and shit. Cause essentially, like, Gabrielle Union is advocating for people that aren't her.
Right.
Her and D. Wade seem to be doing fine, you know, but like the fact that she's saying other black people, celebrities, Instagram influencers are affected by the lack of work more so than even white people, because we don't have that generational wealth, and a lot of times people are doing stuff to look the part when they aren't the part.
Right.
And all of a sudden, and as many black people already understand this plight, somehow she wasn't supposed to say that, or she's not the one to say it, which is also bullshit, because you ask for these celebrities. This is why I told, remember, I was like, it's a trap with these celebrities, because if they don't say the shit, then they don't give a fuck about us. Okay, so they say the shit. If they say anything that advocates for themselves, it's fuck you, bitch, you rich already, what you even doing talking about this shit? I'm the one that's really suffering. Okay, if they say I'm advocating for you, now here's something we can do to help people that aren't me, then they go, fuck you, give up all your money and give it to me, and then shut the fuck up. Like, it's no right answer, and there's nothing mm-hmm. they can do, because the mm-hmm. anger is not coming from something they're doing. It's coming from the state of the world, and then we're pushing it into anything you do is wrong. No matter how you express these thoughts, same thoughts that we express every day, as long as I envy you, look up to you, you're wrong for even saying the same fucking things we all say.
Right, and then a lot of them wonder why people just be like, you know what, I'm just gonna ignore you because y'all not gonna drive me crazy because you're making no sense.
Well, also, Gabby was everybody's motherfucking fave when she went to what was it, the America Got Talent, mm-hmm. and had that big kerfuffle. Anyway, she had that big thing where she was like, yo, y'all not treating the black acts all right. This Jay Leno's in here making racist jokes. Everybody, oh my god, we stand a queen. She stood up, got mad at Terry Crews when Terry Crews was like, I ain't be seeing no weapons, you know, mm-hmm. that shit. And everybody was like, yeah, this is, you know, this is what we really need. People are always letting black women down. And the second she fucking said this, same black people that was talking about how fucking great she was immediately turned into fuck that bitch, you rich, I'm not, you know, that kind of shit. And the thing that's very even weirder about that is, and this is one of the reasons I'm kind of hesitant when I see, there's certain people that you can, they'll support you in a moment, but it's always like they're waiting for the other shoe to drop with everybody.
Yeah, or it's always or strings attached to it.
Not even strings attached, because strings attached is a certain, I understand that. Like, you don't, I don't support necessarily people as much as I support issues and things I believe in. I can get that. Like, right. you know, if, like, if just to give you the leeway, so that if Gabrielle Union came out here tomorrow and said, y'all bitches is single because y'all don't know how to keep a man, then I get why people be like, yeah, fuck you, I'm not loyal to you. I just thought you were saying some cool shit. But there's this other thing that happens where it's kind of like, it's not even strings attached. They know you're human, and when you display that humanity, or just when they are bored and they can take something out of context right. and form like a
bored,
they can form like a shared hate community based on your corpse.
Yep, Hatertron.
Yeah, that's what they're really there for. And she had a lot of those people that were online as her vocal supporters during that America's Got Talent thing. And I remember being like, yeah, I'm not really touching that with a 10-foot pole, because those are the same people that tomorrow will be telling you how Gabrielle Union ain't shit. You know? So I was, you know, it's just, you can't get too attached to their praise, because those are the same people that typically just tear people down. And honestly, for the most part, a lot of them only supported her because it was a good way to tear Terry Crews down. It Correct. Wasn't even necessarily about her, you know? Mm-hmm. So you have to be a little bit careful with that kind of shit. But yeah, it was seeing the vitriol to her saying something that I thought was rather innocuous is crazy. I think a lot of people need to understand the difference between fame and having money, and I think this quarantine is really revealing a lot in terms of there's a lot of people who are famous that don't have wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So we've
actually, over the years, we've read articles about YouTube stars that are like working at restaurants, and people recognize them and just surprised that they're there. They was like, I can't make a living off of that. Like, yeah, you may have seen me. I got millions of views, but equate to money, like money I can live off of.
Right. Like people, I think also people feel like fame is currency, which it is to a certain extent. It's currency, but then they don't understand that it's not the same as money. And mm-hmm. even if you have some money, it doesn't turn you into a person who's no longer human. You know, right. Like you still have feelings, you still have doubts, you still have anxieties, you still, you know, possibly need therapy and all this type of shit. But yeah, people, like I said, I think a lot of people can't understand it because the envy and jealousy of these folks that they quote unquote look up to, that they go, ooh, they got more followers than me, they got a check mark. That shit makes them blind to exactly, or that makes them ignore the humanity of the people. And once you ignore somebody, you have to make sure that person is no longer human. It's something you said a long time ago, and it was so brilliant, was this, the way that narcissists treat people mm-hmm. in narcissistic relationships, abusive relationships, that is the way a lot of people on social media just treat other people, period. And it's just like, I'm gonna gaslight you. And then if I were to say like, man, y'all are tripping over Gabrielle Union, all of a sudden people going, look how stupid you sound defending somebody who's rich. You ain't gonna get you. I'm like, y'all sound like the people that say, look how stupid you sound defending this woman. You ain't gonna get no pussy. It's like, I'm not trying to get anything out of this. What about you just being wrong? What if you're just wrong? Have you considered that maybe you don't, like, what if you didn't assume the worst of this person? Have you even considered that for a second?
Yeah, because everybody's purpose is not to harm. Even though sometimes harm might be the end result, their purpose might not have been to harm.
Yeah, and I think also once you decide to see the worst in somebody,
right.
There's nothing they can do.
Mm-mm.
And also, some people see the worst for sport.
Yeah,
it's literally,
that's their thing.
It's literally how they pass the time.
Correct.
You know, it's those Tumblr threads. It's how you create, you know, you create that group where you're like belonging to it, and this is how we all gather around, you know. And I don't know if it's because I'm partial to being a bit of a loner in my regular life mm-hmm. or whatever, so when I see it happening, I'm just kind of, because I'm not a contrarian, I just kind of be like, I don't want to be in this group.
Yeah,
like I may even have similar understandings of what y'all saying. I know how the group thing makes it. It's like putting cocaine into the mix, and now we're on a different tangent so quickly.
Yes, and I think for me being an only child, same thing. I spent a lot of time by myself and alone. So, and the thing is, this has always been around, but I've seen it like in real life, you know, like these cliques, they just wasn't online. It was in real life, and I didn't care too much for those people in real life. I separated myself from those people in real life. Just because you're online, you still have the same traits, because people are people, and those traits are just coming out in words online versus y'all just sitting and gossiping and all that shit all day like I used to see people do. It's the same thing in my mind. I see the same pattern, so I just separate myself.
Yeah, I think that might be partially what it is, because it's like when I see that shit, I'm just, you know, I just don't want to form community over it. And right. And the thing is, I don't really form a lot of community on the things I like either. I'm not trying to just join up. Like, so, you know, for example, Black as Fuck is really controversial on social media. It was a couple weeks ago. Maybe it still is. I don't know. But I didn't really want to join up into the let's all talk about how great it is group. And I didn't want to talk, which I loved it, by the way. But I also didn't want to hang out with the people that all they did all day was shit on it. Like, I don't need any of y'all. Like, I'm good with my opinion over here, my platform, my life. Nothing I say is going to change your mind. I don't like arguing music opinions. I see people mm-hmm. all day. They argue. And I definitely don't like the celebrity opinion shit, too, because at the end of the day, celebrities have become people's entertainment, like music and TV shows and shit. And so it's like either they can never do nothing wrong or they can never do nothing right. And you know, the humanity is stripped out of it either way, because you're looking at the person as a entertainment and a product more than a person.
Right.
All right. She also said, I think you learned a lot, because she talked about, loving yourself and feeling alone. Mm-hmm. So I think you learn a lot more about yourself than you do in a room full of people. I mean, how many times have you ever felt the loneliest in a crowded room? Mm-hmm. And that sounds weird, but like, it's been so many times where I'm amongst big groups of people where I'm supposed to be very excited about and feel very privileged to be in the company of whoever. And all I feel is isolated and alone and purposely misunderstood. And all this, at this stage of my life, it's not worth it to me. It's not worth it if at the end of whatever this great opportunity is supposed to be, I feel like I'm lonely in a crowded room. It's not for me. So yeah, I don't know. The thing she said was relatable.
Me too. And I felt like that in several situations. Like, I know how exactly that feels. A lot of times, just because you're around everybody, it doesn't mean you're in tune with them, and it doesn't mean that you're present, quote unquote, with everything happening around you.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. It's just, the part that's fucked up to me is that it's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. It's so predictable at this point. It's just a matter of fucking time for everybody to be on the Summer Jam screen. Like, every day is just like they pick a person or just someone decides, like, I don't like this person, and now I can finally say it because I can misconstrue what they're saying into something terrible. It's like, what they said wasn't terrible. And then and if you disagree or you present any fucking nuance, it's like, fuck you, you're against everything I believe in, or whatever. You know, you're defending these fucking rich people, you know.
Yeah, it's the get down and lay down mentality, like I said, which goes back to the narcissism. And I think for me, it's hard for, how can I say this? It's hard for a lot of people to wrap their minds around they might be the problem. Like, they might be the problem. It might be something within them, because if you do that work, that will cause a change. And I think at the end of the day, a lot of people don't want to change. A lot of people, they get a joy, they get an excitement out of this. And for a lot of people, it's a form of power. And the last thing people want to do is give power up in this quote unquote powerless world.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. Like I said, it's got to be something like that. And then also like power and community,
right?
Because now if I'm not this person, I'm not in the community, you know. Like I said, I had this happen, I don't know how many times I've said this example, but some people added me to back when they had this feature, and maybe they still had this feature, but I turned it off.
I think they stopped it.
But on Twitter, you could do group DMs, mm-hmm, and add a bunch of people to like a thread of DMs, which, let's be real, that's a terrible idea.
Right.
Not just terrible idea because it's, you can add people without necessarily their consent, but it's also a terrible idea because, like, you know, people gotta be talking shady and saying all kinds of stuff in DMs. Some motherfucker gonna be just lurking and screenshotting everything and telling all y'all business. I'm surprised that didn't blow up in people. Maybe it did blow up and I just didn't see it. But anyway, what I think is interesting though, they added me to this group. It's like Blurred Unlimited or some, you know, the Blurred Black Nerds. I've never called myself a blurred because I just didn't grow up in that environment. You know what I mean? I was black. I like nerdy shit, but I only really knew black people. So there was no signifier in me being a black person who was into nerdy shit. Like, it didn't make me any different or whatever. As opposed to if I grew up around white people, we was all into nerdy shit, but I'm the black one, then I'm a blurred, right?
Right.
Cause I would want to stake my claim. I would want to single myself out and be like, hey, I'm black too. Okay. So I'm not even knocking people for
using it. I want you to know. So yeah, I understand that.
This isn't shade for people that use that term. Mm-mm. It's just one I didn't grow up with. But anyway, so I'm in this blurred group and, the people like, Black Lightning, oh, it's terrible. Oh, I hate this thing. Okay. All right. Avengers, I hate this, it's the worst, it's terrible. You name the topic, it didn't matter what it was. It was terrible, it was racist, it wasn't good enough, it was bad. If it was black, it was the wrong kind of black. If it was white, it wasn't black right. If it had a black character, no matter what choice they made, it was a bad choice and it ruined everything for them. And I was thinking to myself, y'all hate more than y'all like. Y'all hate the vast majority of the things y'all talk about, and yet y'all continue to consume those things. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, newsflash, either you're lying,
which I think most of them are,
or, you know, because then it's about fitting into the group. You don't actually hate this shit. There's a lot of stuff you like about it, but the group is a negative group, so you can't come in and be like, I actually enjoyed Avengers 2 or whatever. You gotta say you hated it,
right? Because and for a long time I thought I was the crazy one, because I'm like, if I don't like shit the way y'all complained about it, why are y'all still watching it? And I know I like I just come off harsh. I'm like, the fuck, just stop watching the bullshit and quit complaining. But I was like, oh, y'all like complaining, okay.
Yeah, you're 20 movies into Marvel. If you really think it's the worst, it's not gonna get better at movie 21.
Right. I was like, stop watching the shit. Nobody asked your ass to be here. Go away.
Right. And because it was a conversation I didn't ask to be a part of, and I didn't really know these people and didn't really understand what was happening, you know, I would rarely chime in, but you know, I would chime in like, yo, I fucking love such and such. Oh, really? Well, you know, this one person said such and such in the interview. Okay, I'm not sure how that makes Captain Marvel a bad movie, but all right. Anyway, what games y'all guys playing? Oh, this game sucks and that game sucks and this game's racist and that game's racist and this person's racist. And I was like, take me out of this group. I want out of the group. This is horrible. This is negative. My point being, that is kind of everybody about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like that energy is in a lot of groups. It's in a lot of people. It's everything, and it's extended to more than just commercial products, but people. Like, you know, it's not even just about like, I don't like this show or whatever. And the thing is, eventually they're gonna get to dislike. No matter how much they start, like, I fuck with this, it always ends up somewhere around this shit ain't shit, you know?
Right, and like I said, and a lot of that has never vibed with my personality. Like I said, even in the quote-unquote real world, I don't fuck with people like that. People that complain and always negative, I don't want you around me. So I separate myself when it comes to social media from that. Like, just separate myself.
Well, also, because eventually they're going to do it to you.
Correct, and I'm not an exception to the rules. I don't know why people think that there are exceptions to these rules. Believe you me, if you're in a group of people and they hate on everything, eventually they're gonna hate on your black ass.
Yeah, I ain't special.
And so I think for a lot of people, they go online and they complain, hate, and they go at people and drag people all day and things like that. And the thing is, a lot of them know they're going to be on the other side of that one day, or they fool themselves and think that they're never going to be the victim of it, which is, you know, they, a lot of them get devastated, and then all of a sudden I've seen it before, the attitude changes and they don't fuck with them people no more because they know what it's like to be on the side where you're being dragged.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's about community, and then it's also about, I really do truly believe how people treat other folks is how they gonna treat me.
You're right.
I do, and I've never shake it, and I've also never been done wrong by that shit. Every single time I've watched a person be like mean and nasty to everybody but me, or they're mean and nasty to somebody I feel like doesn't deserve it, but then they're nice to me, and I'm like, you'll do that to me one day.
Right.
Like, you're not fooling me. I see you. And the second that I'm like wide out about it, that's when the fuck they stop fucking with me.
Yeah, you got to go then, because that and that's the thing. It's like, just because I'm kind of like that. Just because I might not open up my mouth, or I'm not the type of person to be like, "Well, I see you, bitch." You know, because some people are like that, which is cool. I don't have that. I will, all of a sudden, you look around, you be like, "The fuck is Karen?" I'm just gonna leave the room because your actions have showed me that I don't need to be here.
It's also crazy because when it comes to, because people be like, "You can love something and critique it." A lot of y'all's critique is not love. That's
no,
like,
it's not.
That's that narcissist shit where it's like, I can abuse something and still love it. It's like, you need to find that line, because there's a fine line between, yeah, I give this thing a 9 out of 10, but this is what I found wrong with it. And this shit is trash. You're trash. People who like it are trash. The people who made it are trash. Trash, trash, trash. Like, that's not critiquing a thing you love. That's loving, that's hating to loving to hate something. You know, and that's like a real thing. So I just feel like what happened though is, in the age of social media where everyone's a brand, everyone's a product,
mm-hmm.
people have replaced product in a lot of people's minds. So yes. This isn't even like, I hate Westworld. It's, I hate blank person. I hate blank celebrity. And the nuances and complexity of everything that a human being is comprised of, I have to find a way to make it all bad. You know, yeah. If someone exhibits something outside of my fucking agenda against them, I'm gonna ignore that, or I'm gonna flip it into a way where it's a negative thing. Even though it typically I would, if someone I like did it, I'd be like, that's a great thing this person did, I love it. It's Beyonce and Megan giving all the money proceeds from their thing to help families during COVID-19, and people, because they like them, it's the greatest thing ever. Some celebrity they don't like gives even more money than that, and they go, fuck that person, that's it. Like, it's like, and they, but they can't see it because they're in it. They, like, the people who exhibit that type of behavior, they can't even fucking see it because they're in it, you know. And I think that shit just, I don't know, it just turns me off so much that I just don't fuck with them.
Yeah, and also it's a reason why people like me, and I know it's a running joke about how I love everything, but for me, I actually, we've talked about this before, how a lot of the shit that I like and I love, I really don't share, because I'm like, I like and what I enjoy is not up for debate. Like, that's my thing, because I like it and I know my personality. When you niggas come on there talking about you don't like it, I want to snap. So I say, you know what, let me keep this shit to myself, because I'm sensitive about the shit I love.
Yeah, you used to like live tweet and everything with TV shows that you liked on Twitter and stuff, and I think between, like, you know, The Walking Dead and The Strain and stuff, you really just stopped, you know, because like, you don't live tweet anything anymore.
All the fun got zapped out of it for me. I'm just keeping it real. All the fun and the enjoyment and the purity of it, and just the, we're just here to have a good time. And like you said, because I've been on Twitter like 10, 11 years, I've slowly seen people just eat and corrode away at a lot of the people that are like, hey, I'm just here to have a good time, I'm just here for happiness. A lot of the people with the constant hate and nothing's good enough and nothing's great and everything got to be perfect except for the shit I like. Like, for me, eventually it got on my nerves. So anytime you a live tweet, like, you literally couldn't live tweet without somebody who a lot of times don't even watch the show no more. You still watch that, bitch? Yes, I didn't ask you to come over here. I like it, okay, like, go on about your bit. Like, and I know me, so I said, you know what, let me just keep the shit to myself and enjoy my shit offline, so I don't have to hear these various random different opinions about shit that I didn't ask for your opinion on.
And it's crazy too, because I'm the kind of person that I do love things that are flawed, and I love to, and I'll joke about it and everything, but it's just different to me than what the hate that people have, and then go, that's just critique. And it's like, nah, you've made your whole life into, I hate this thing. Like, this is not, like, at some level, you just hate this thing. You're not critiquing a thing you love. You're not wishing for it to get better. And like I said, or this person has a new project, that ain't shit. The old projects, they can't be shit. What about these projects that actually came from this person, they were kind of good and you like them? They still ain't shit, you know. Like, it's crazy,
right? And also, I think for but like, you also have to know yourself too, and what you are willing to put up with and what you're not willing to put up with. And I'm not above getting sapped and affected by these groups around me. I have been affected by it before, and before you know it, I was very negative. Roger can tell you, I was very negative. Everything irritated me. Things got on my nerves. I didn't have patience for anything. And the thing is, once you're wrapped in it, you can't see the forest for the trees. It takes you actually getting out and actually reflecting on your behavior to be like, hey, this is not really my personality. Like, I am not happy anymore. I'm not joyful anymore. I'm not at peace anymore. Mm-hmm. And once you get to that point, you go, oh, I don't want to go down those rabbit holes. And, you know, and the thing is, everybody's on social media. Most people are on social media in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And you have to know how to navigate it the best way that you know how. And there are a lot of good things. There are a lot of good communities, a lot of communities out there.
Our podcast, the community we created around it. I mean, you know, our fans are dope as fuck. So, like, there's a lot of positive things. But when I see how people turn on celebrities like this, this will always make me feel like going on this rant. 100% of the time. Cause it's ridiculous. Like, there's a level of it that is so infuriating that I can't not talk about it, you know. And not only on some, cause it could be me, I don't see myself as no fucking Gabrielle Union or no, you know, like, I'm never gonna be Taylor Swift. That's not even what I'm saying. It's just the principle of the shit. You know what I mean? Like, this motherfucker gotta be evil because you decided? Like, what kind of shit is that?
Right. And a lot of times too, particularly talking about TV shows, the thing is, like I said, and I don't mind people not liking things. Like, that's not the problem. A lot of times people get to the point where their critiques become personal attacks against the fandom of those shows.
And people, just right. in general. Right.
And,
like,
and that's when I but, am like, okay, you've taken this too far.
Yeah. And I saw someone say in the chat, like, well, I'm not, you know, I don't have that many followers. I don't follow that many people. And I was like, I mean, absolutely, I understand that. But this isn't necessarily a function of having a whole lot of followers
Mm-mm.
or having a whole lot of people interact with you. It might be a function of being online a lot, though. That's true. But, like, this happens to people every day. It could be your family. Like, you could just be on your Facebook page and I like Fenty makeup, and then just that one uncle pops up and tells you how Rihanna ain't shit, or mm-hmm. girl, you don't even need no makeup and shit like that. It's like, it could be something like that where it's just like, what made him feel the need to say that shit? Like, why couldn't they just keep scrolling? Like, why, what is that? You know what I mean? Or, you know, you like an album, but there's, you know, like, and now it's gotta be an unpopular opinion. Like, I actually kinda like this Rihanna album or something. And then you have people show up, girl, you like that? It's like, that has happened to all of us. I don't care if you got, unless you're just not on social media, that's happened to everybody. And I think that phenomenon is something that, is definitely exacerbated by the ability for us to come together via the internet, and it's not necessarily something positive.
Right. And like you say, and it happens across all platforms. Like, you, like, I think a lot of times people are just so accustomed to seeing it that they don't really see what it is.
Yeah.
A lot of the times.
What's the social media thing?
Right, right.
Like, I don't know that it's, like, it's, yeah, I know it's not a real life thing.
Mm-mm.
Cause if I was just like at the bar and I said, oh, I like, I don't know, what's something horrible that people like? I like the Cowboys. Like, everybody in the bar that doesn't like the Cowboys is not gonna run over to my table and be like, fuck you, you like the goddamn Cowboys?
No,
like,
not.
That's like, it's just a social media thing. We have access to each other and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just different. But yeah, that's the thing. Whenever I see the shit happen of somebody as nice as Gabrielle Union, you know, it make you be like, damn, man, like, it's not even jokes. It's not even funny. It's not even like, you know, haha. Or like, I remember when I used to joke about her and Dwayne Wade not having a marriage license and shit, you know, or she stole that man, you know, like, at least it was jokes. Like, if I seen Gabrielle Union, I wouldn't be like, you fucking man stealing. Like, it was like, no, those was jokes. I don't know you and whatever, but this shit feels like real. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, and on a whim, like, tomorrow they'll be cool again because she'll say something or be in a situation where it's like, well, we got, you know, she's standing up for black women in this situation. But that day they were bored enough to say it didn't count, you know. And of course, some people will now be like this forever about her, which will suck, you know.
Right. And also, it's one of those things where, like you say, I think for some people it's something within them, because I remember this happened a few years ago, and I friended the person on Facebook where I think Serena Williams had won like a championship or something like that. Who knows, it may have been Serena Williams Day, and I posted a bunch of pics on her, and I basically, in the top, I was like, I know she's controversial, whatever, like, but please don't come. Like, I literally said in the post, please don't come in here with no bullshit. And somebody else, like, oh, nigga, you got to go. Like, the whole purpose was for celebration. And I'm telling you before you hit the door. So don't get mad at me because I'm like, you can't be a party pooper. And, you know, I think some people get excited about pooping on parties. Like, that's their thing. They're unhappy. So they was like, let me come up here and piss on your parade because I'm not happy.
Yep. I remember that shit. All right, let's get into some other stuff. What should we do next? I guess we can do some fucking with black people. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe. Find different articles make us feel fucked with. Assign point scores of 0 to 100. Intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. I guess the Gabrielle Union one was kind of fucking with black people. She was trying to advocate for us.
Like I said,
that's crazy.
If that's the case, that Gabrielle Union got 100, because I was 100% fuck with it. Like you said, it same thing for me. It makes me go down that pathway, yeah, where you're like, this actually don't make no sense, y'all.
I know niggas sick of that ran on our show.
Well, you're gonna hear it again if it come back up. I'm just preparing you
every time.
Every, like a broken record.
Can't help myself. Why you should tip your mask. Says the CDC recommend that everyone wears face masks when out in public. Governor J.B. Pritzker is mandating Illinois residents wear them starting May 1st. We will begin to see them more frequently. However, for some communities, that causes anxiety. The Village of 1,000 Elders is creating a safety initiative called Tip Your Mask to help prevent confusion and racial biases. The Tip Your Mask is in coordination with various police departments in Illinois. When you go into a store or a building, you're now asked to tip your mask by lowering it slightly so the business owner can see your face. Reverend Wonder Harris, who founded the Village of 1,000 Elders, explains, if people were to commit a crime, they wouldn't tip the mask because they'd be caught on camera. He visited various local businesses in East Moline and said business owners agreed that tipping masks would ease their minds to know a customer is just inside the shop and not commit a crime. Everyone's being asked to tip your mask because, as Pastor Harris says, crime comes in all colors. You can't just say that just because they're a particular color, they'll commit a crime. So it's something all of us have to do. And it's not just using old standards and ideas that we can't have a peaceful society to do it that way. Reverend Donald William Johnson adds, we really want to eliminate and dilute and sort of stop any confrontation. So I tip my mask when, then persons know I'm not out here to do anything wrong, because that's the typical thing people think of with a mask. Pastor Dale Thompson understands why people of color may be hesitant to wear a face mask, and he's one of them. It's really an adjustment for me. It brings anxiety and frustration because I know in my subconscious, in mind and heart, that it kind of represents our community. Thompson said he recommended his son only wear a mask once he's inside a business for fear of what others might think when they see a black man in a mask. Harris says it will take time to get used to. Once something is in your subconscious mind and it's something you dealt with all your life, making that mental change is going to take time. Eventually bring some unity. Dr. King, he dreamed of a time when people would be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Perhaps the mask is forcing us now to judge character and conduct and not skin. After you tip your mask, be sure to use hand sanitizer or wash your hands as soon as possible. Various police departments shared their support of Tip Your Mask initiative. And then various quotes from the police chiefs. Karen, 0 to 100.
Oh, just get a motherfucking Jacaris, because it defeats the whole fucking purpose in this goddamn racist. It's a racist ass policy so that white people can feel safe. Because if everybody's supposed to wear a mask, everybody, because I guarantee you, y'all not going to ask these white people to tip their mask and show you their face and goddamn smile. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, what does a criminal in a mask look like exactly? Like, you know, before the tip your mask, how was y'all, did you think everyone was coming in the store to rob you, or just certain groups of everyone? Because that would be my question.
Right, because I pull my mask off, that defeats the purpose of the mask, right? Because this shit is airborne.
How does that help with racial bias, exactly? Trying to understand, like, what is it about the mask that helps with racial bias?
It doesn't.
Sounds like you already had the bias, and me acquiescing to my safety by pulling the mask down, touching it with my coronavirus fingers. It sounds like that seems to be the thing that would ease your fears, but I'm just not sure how.
Will it ease it? Will it? Because if you determine to shoot me, I'm gonna fucking give it. I got on them. Niggas was getting shot out the mask, so the fuck, I don't.
Yeah, so I give it a Jacaris as well. That is definitely the hiding in plain sight type of racism that presents itself as like altruism. We're helping you, okay? This is the don't cross my side of the street rule, okay? I'm telling you, stay out of my neighborhood because I don't want you to deal with any racism over here. Like, it sounds like you should be dealing with the racial bias of your employees. You know, not me having to put my mask down, like,
right? Because me robbing a place don't mean anything until I actually rob the place.
And I'm also not surprised that the people that seem to be advocating for this were from the religious community. You know, the let's acquiesce, let's practice this respectability shit to save your life. And I'm not saying that they're horrible people or they mean bad. I think they mean well. That is an older black man that is trying to keep his son alive. And he's going, if tipping your mask will get you back home, I don't care how you feel about it, but I would like you back home. My job as a parent every single day in this house is to get your black ass back home alive. That's it. I love you. These people don't. I totally understand that conundrum. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even trying to knock them. I'm not gonna call them coons or any of this shit. You know, I think we do that way too fucking often about stuff like this. But that being said, this solution to me is not acceptable.
No.
You know, and this is those people are the ones that need to fucking the people in the businesses are the ones that need to figure that shit out, not us. It's not up to us to fix you being a racist piece of shit.
Yeah, nobody planned for this, and these biases were here way before the coronavirus came and touched our lives.
Right. Speaking of shopping with masks on, a California shopper in a Ku Klux Klan hood alarms customers. Ku Klux Klan in Cali?
Yeah, nigga, white people there. Ku Klux Klan is everywhere.
I know, but representing in Cali like that, I didn't know they get down like that, Cam. Sorry to be surprised, but you know, we cover racism all the time for a living. This might be my first KKK hood in California that I've ever heard of.
You know, he may have been on his way to the meeting, just forgot to take it off.
Ku Klux Klan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Apparently so.
All the way out there in California.
I thought y'all was supposed to be the liberal ones.
Do they spell it all with C's? If the Bloods catch them being Ku Klux Klan, they'd be like, it's the Blue Bloods Klan. Like, how does that work?
I have no idea, my nigga.
I just want to know. Customers and local officials blasted a grocery shopper in San Diego suburb who was photographed wearing a Ku Klux Klan hood, apparently to provocatively conform to the country's coronavirus face requirements. So is this whole, cause let me tell y'all something. This wouldn't work on me. I'm gonna tell you exactly why. Because if I got a mask on and you got a KKK hood on, I'm actually good with that. I'm definitely staying 6 feet away from you. And at least your coronavirus is covered. So I'll be offended later. But if I walk in the grocery store and see this shit, I'm gonna just be like, okay, cool. He going with the rules. Like, it must be the only hood he had in his house.
He protecting.
Yep.
At least he ain't out there like the other ones with no hood on spreading shit.
This shit would not work on me. I know he was hoping some people would fight him and yell at him. It wouldn't even work.
Don't nobody want your coronavirus?
I will wait for this nigga to clear out the produce section and be 6 feet behind him to get my motherfucking oranges and get to stepping. Be goddamn
you,
about to
you think they're gonna be 6 feet?
Touch this man, get within 6 feet of his coronavirus. You can have that.
You think they're gonna be 6 feet away when they have their meetings now?
Right. Cause he wants you to be like, take your hood off. And he be like, but I'm following the rules. This what the libs want me to do.
And then nobody bother him either.
Right. You know what, sir? Keep it on. You absolutely fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you following the rules? Nobody gonna fuck with you.
Your thing. Just let me get your license plate number so I know not to ever be around you. He refused to move the hood until shortly before he purchased his groceries and left, according to the spokesperson at the supermarket company. He refused to move the hood. I don't even know how that, because you know he was being a dick. You know he was. Sir, take off the hood. It's racist. But the government said I got to wear this hood. Sir, it's very offensive. There are black customers in here. We don't want this kind of stuff in our store. Well, you should talk to Governor Newsom then. If you don't want me to wear the hood, he said I gotta wear a mask. This is the only mask I got. So I'm gonna go ahead and buy some more of these grapes and I'm gonna keep it stepping. There's nothing you can do about it. You liberal cooks. Like, I know he was I know he's talking shit.
I'm gonna buy some of them grapes down there in Mexico because you know them brown people pick these grapes and I'm gonna buy me. You can't stop me.
He did this shit. Like, white people really are like having a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
All we said is it's not okay to just group up and go anywhere you want. These motherfuckers
are like,
you can't
tell them what they can't do.
They're like, is this oppression? Is this what racism is like? Oh, breaking news. White House bans all coronavirus task force from testifying in front of Congress without explicit permission. Own brand. Own brand. Worst president ever.
Oh, the record label and the crew, they was like, oh, we got the CEO. The rest, no, we telling, because what happened is they probably started asking other people. It was like, no, none of y'all can talk.
Bring George W. Bush back. That's the only thing people learning right now.
But yet y'all in the motherfucking streets with guns and camos on talking about my rights being taken.
A KKK hoods on. The shopper, who appeared to be a long-haired middle-aged white man in shorts and a short-sleeved shirt, was not identified. Several people on social media called on others to name the customer if they recognize him. Wow, Black Twitter ain't come through on this. Santee Mayor John Minto condemned the symbol of hatred worn by the man and thanked those who confronted the customer. Many thanks to all who stepped forward to curtail this sad reminder of intolerance. Santee is leaders and I will not tolerate such behavior. Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm gonna be real. Wouldn't have wasted my fucking breath. I'm not getting 6 feet within you. I know what you're doing. This is like a troll on Twitter. Like, I know what you're doing. You want everyone's attention. You want to cause a meltdown at the show, at the store. It would have been the best thing in the world if everybody would have acted like this motherfucker was wearing a hat. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody was just,
yeah.
Like, if he just got the, he would have been so mad sitting in his truck. If everybody was like, cause you know he had a truck. He would have been so mad sitting in his truck in the parking lot.
150 or maybe 250.
Right. He would have been so mad if everyone fucking just took his order and all the customers didn't even take a second glance at his ass and he just walked out looking like a fucking fool. He would have been in the car like, what the fuck do I gotta do? Get these niggas married. Like, I get it though. I get why people get mad. I'm not blaming people for getting mad. I just, in my dream world where I get to control all the strings, I would love to make this fucking troll just like, no one even gets angry. No one says a word to him. No one stops him.
That's actually the perfect response. You be like, you following the rules, so I'm good.
I just don't want him to get what he wants. And he got what he wanted, essentially. He caused a stir and everybody was like, yeah, get out of my store. But, you know, shout out to the white allies that probably stepped up. I hope the safety pin brigade, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure they was, whatever happened to them? Trump is elected and
still out there.
I haven't seen a white person with a safety pin save not nah niggas.
Did they take them off and throw them away?
It's been like 3 or 4 years. We don't have one example of like, we don't have one example of a secret white undercover safety pin wearing white woman saving us.
Just like, no, I got to blend in.
What happened, y'all? Remember they were supposed to come to the rescue. The fuck happened to that? Are the safety pins somewhere pinning up the pussy hats to dream boards, to vision boards?
Come on.
What happened?
Maybe next time we'll get them, guys.
Where have my safety pin women gone? They are gone out this bitch. I totally forgot about that shit. Oh man. They had a plan. They was gonna get us to freedom through the Underground Railroad. We ain't seen them motherfuckers since.
They mad cause they can't get their haircuts.
They was like, we gonna safety pin this for later. Okay. We will safety put a pin in it and that's get back to you Negroes.
That's where all the pins are.
Oh my God. A woman posted one of several photos of the shopper on social media, told the Times of San Diego, I was in disbelief. He was behind me in line. A man in a wheelchair went past and saluted him and he laughed. I took the photo because I couldn't believe what I was witnessing. I'm growing up in Santee. I've never seen such racism right before my eyes. Yeah, my other question is, I don't know if anyone brought it up. Was he practicing social distancing?
I hope he was.
Santee has a dark history of racist attacks and skinhead activity that earned the city some of its 55,000 people the nickname the Clanty and Santucky. Oh, okay. On brand.
Santucky.
Santucky.
That's a name.
That's good. White supremacy and anti-Semitism have been intertwined in the protests against COVID-19 safety measures. Yeah, it's weird that he had a problem putting on the mask. And he also happened to have a Klan hood sitting around. It's almost as if the people that don't like the Klan, the mask, and they're protesting is almost, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to cast aspersions. I don't want to assume the worst.
Allegedly.
But it just seems like it's a weird intersection. Maybe we should look into that. It's a weird intersection of white supremacy in the, we don't want to wear a fucking mask and we don't want a social distance crowd.
Camo and, you know, AK-47s or whatever them numbers is.
Oh man, every day I see news and I can't help myself, but I, you know, I understand the implications it would have for the rest of us, but every time I see you, I just want them to get sick and die. Every time. if I knew for a fact it wouldn't kill nobody else, I'd be okay with it. But I know that's not how this shit works.
I just want
them to stay in the house. I want them to stay their racist ass home.
Fucking up other people who ain't got nothing to do right. with it.
Cause they gonna go to Kroger and cough on some people, and then all the black fucking employees gonna die, and I'm gonna be like, damn, this is that monkey paw type thing. You make a wish and then the wish is all fucked up because you made an evil wish, and I'm not gonna wish evil on these people.
Nope.
Or at least, I mean, it don't matter if I wish it or not, but I know that the end result is we need their ass to stay inside, because them getting it ain't helping us either.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, 0 to Dracarys.
Oh, this just get 100.
Yeah.
I'm less mad about this than I am about them fucking face masks.
Yeah, I think I give it a. Man, who else fucked up? I don't know. I give it 75, I guess. I know the point is to make me mad. I'm just, it's like, because he want to make me mad, I'm not.
Okay.
It's almost like it'd be better off if he just accidentally, like, I didn't mean to put on my Klan hood. I thought I had a baseball cap on. I'd be like, oh, fuck this motherfucker. But it's because he really was like, I'm gonna piss these niggas off today. I'm just like, okay, bro, whatever. Like, as long as you ain't touch nobody, hit nobody, or do nothing to nobody, I don't wear your Klan hood. Who gives a fuck? Fuck you. Puff Daddy is in the news.
Okay.
Did he a message for the black vote? Okay. Mm-hmm. He had to tell the world about this, okay? This year, 2020, when it comes to the black vote,
mm-hmm.
we ain't giving our vote away for free no more. It's over for that.
But there's only one person to vote for.
They gonna have to earn this vote, Karen. Okay? And our spokesperson is black people. Diddy.
The black vote is not going to be for free. We're going to have to see some promises. You know, what are we getting in return for our vote? Nothing has changed for black America. And in order for us to vote for Biden, we can't be taken for granted like we always are, because we're supposed to be Democrats, or because people are afraid of Trump. It's whoever's going to take care of our community, whoever wants to make a deal. It's business at this point. You know, we can't trust politicians. You know, so we want to know very clearly, just like Trump made it clear that he wanted to build the wall, Biden needs to make it clear that he's going to change the lives and quality of life of black and brown people, or else he can't get the vote. I will hold the vote hostage if I have to.
You said it here, said it first.
Breaking news.
So this is recently. This is nothing old, right? This is,
yeah, recently.
Okay.
Didn't say shit during the primaries, but now he's speaking as the spokesperson for black people. He'll hold the vote hostage himself if he has to, because, you know, Diddy can do that.
Oh, he can hold his vote, but
no,
not
he will hold the vote hostage is what he said, not his vote.
Oh, no.
He meant all the black vote, the black
no,
vote.
You can't hold my vote hostage. No, no, it don't work like that. And my thing is, I do understand you demanding more and things like that, because that's what everybody wants most candidates to do. You know, you go out, you demand more, you push them to the left, you want them to promise you things. But this is life and death. So to me, there's no two sides to this. Trump just literally is letting everybody die. So it's either let everybody die or get somebody that's kind of sort of more competent than him. Cause, you know, it's literally gonna be a white off for the presidency, a white on white race to see who's gonna be the whitest of them all when it's time to vote in November. I disagree. I think he has he thinks he has more power than he does, cause you can't dictate or control how people vote and things like that.
Yeah, I hate this. Like, honestly, I think it's very irresponsible. and ridiculous. Now, he's just one man with his opinion. He has a big platform, but that doesn't mean he controls any of the vote. And essentially, I think it's mostly harmless, because, I mean, who the fuck hasn't made their mind up at this point? Either you're voting for Biden or you're not voting for Biden. And right. If you're not voting for Biden, you're essentially helping Trump. There's not an in-between. The things that bother me more about it is, like, I think this kind of black grandstanding that people do is always ridiculous, because either they don't have qualifications for what the black vote needs to do, or there's some nebulous qualifications where they can only tell you what they don't want on. You know,
yeah, a lot of people do what they don't want.
Yeah, I remember when, cause it's not like he brought up some platform, this is what black people need. He just decided. And Biden does have policies that will improve the lives of black people. Mm-hmm. You know, but hey, if you don't, this is a way to be vague, uneducated, but also bombastic and get all the attention and be like, yeah, dog, this don't, the rest of you niggas might give your vote away, but not did it. I'm too smart for that. Then, of course, you know, with him being so fucking rich, there's people like, you're gonna be okay under Trump, you're gonna be okay under Biden. Like, you can feel like I can play around with this election. A lot of people ain't feeling that, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't have that room,
it's
or whatever.
Life and death. They got family members that died from coronavirus, so it's like a fuck a Trump.
That's why he got so much backlash. And then, of course, during the coronavirus pandemic, you're gonna get a lot of backlash to this. He had to know that. I think he likes, and like a lot of people, you know, you feel important when you say this. You know, it makes you feel like somebody. I remember 2016, there was people out there talking this kind of shit, you know. Mm-hmm.
The exact same thing.
You know, black people to claiming to speak for all the black people. You gonna earn my vote and all this shit. And it's like, dog, I don't know what to tell you, but Trump is the ultimate evil. And I'm sorry that's not good enough for you. But that's what we have right now, Trump or Biden, you know. And I don't even feel like Biden's that bad. I just feel like he's not the best candidate we could have gotten.
He's definitely not.
Yeah, but this shit right here is essentially political suicide, you know. So it's just, you know, but he's the same guy that did vote or die and didn't get any extra turnout for John Kerry. So, and not exactly the spokesperson for black political excellence as is. And also, one more thing I'll throw out there, man. This is a major fucking problem in the community, that we are always looking for a charismatic black male straight leader. And some of these niggas are so unqualified to speak to any of this shit. Like, it doesn't matter that you made a lot of money. It doesn't matter that, you know, you had some successful music career. Show me your political acumen. Why should I be combining my vote? What outreach are you doing to the black vote to even put it into some sort of pool where you can control it? Like, you haven't even done the groundwork to have, like, some type of political action committee that speaks for black issues and be like, Puff Daddy, when he talks, he's talking for black people, or at least a mass of black people that agree with him. Like, who are you talking for, dog? You know what I mean? So it's just
himself. But yeah, but the way he sounds is like, I'm talking for everybody.
He literally said it. He said, I will hold the black vote hostage, or I will hold the vote hostage. What are you talking about? Yeah. You know what I mean? This is you grandstanding. You know, we not gonna give our vote away for free this time. What are you talking? People don't feel like they're giving it away for free. Mm-mm. Like, that's not what people are saying. You may feel that way because not much will change for you. If anything, your taxes is doing great under Trump, you know? So yeah, it's just such a weird fucking thing to do. I'm like, I don't know. It's more annoying than dangerous, in my opinion. But yeah, I give it, what would you get? 0 out of, I guess.
Oh, this right here. Truth be told, 25 at the max. Like, because I'm not talking, I don't care about his opinion on this shit. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, that's, yeah, because I would say somewhere around there. Like, it's more annoying than dangerous, in my opinion.
Correct.
Because I hope and pray, I'm going to have more faith in not just people in general, but specifically in black people, than to think that Instagram post from Puff Daddy is enough to make you be like, I'm not gonna vote. I see everything going on around me, and I'm just gonna be cool with it because Puff Daddy's cool with it. Not saying there'll be zero people like that, and obviously if there are people like that, it's a shame what he did, even if it affected one vote. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I refuse to, I'm not gonna put him on a super powerful pedestal just so I can like take him off of it and talk about how terrible he is and rant about it. I just think if this would have been my friend, if this would have been a family member, if this would have been just another podcaster, I think all this shit is very irresponsible in general, but it's their decision. And if that's what you want to stand for, you know, I just hope you understand when people don't take you seriously in the future.
Right. And that's kind of how I view it. I'm like, okay, you got the right to feel however you want to feel about it, but I also have the right to turn around and be like, I don't think that was smart.
We've seen this stance fuck people's entire platform up before.
Yes, we have. We've seen they whole thing just crumble.
Like, this shit is not a joke.
They,
I don't know,
a different tune like that, like they we've seen people who were on, who said the same thing he did, now was like, nah dog, y'all niggas better get them vote.
Yeah, speaking, there's this thing that I think, and I'm always trying to be conscious of this and trying to be aware of this, right? It's why I parse my opinion so much. But there's this thing where it goes to people's head and they turn from speaking to black people to saying I'm speaking for black people.
Right, because there is a difference.
And it's a very fine line, but when you cross it, to me, you sound like this. Like, this is what my people gonna do, and we gonna say this, and it's like, is that really, or is that just you? You know, like, when have you lost the plot? When have you let people pump you up so much that you now think you're speaking to for all of us? No one elected you. You know, this is your opinion, which you're entitled to have. And there may even be black people who agree with you. But this monolithic agreement that we all have that Puff Daddy speaks for the vote is not something we ever decided. You know? So, it's just kind of weird because a lot of people do that shit. So, you know, crazy. Maybe he just that crazy friend that, you know, like, maybe that's why you don't see nobody like him and Naomi Campbell on there. But like, ain't Naomi Campbell from like the UK or some shit? She not even from here.
I don't think she's from the States.
She probably out here like, this nigga crazy, but we gonna get ratings, keep talking. He's like, we are not voting no, we will let Trump win, we gonna vote for Trump, that's what we gonna do. That's like, what if he would have took it that
you
far?
You know what, she'd be like, keep rolling.
Right. Mm-hmm, Tough Daddy, you, unfiltered, go ahead, say what you gotta say. Anyway, I'm gonna put my motherfucking hazmat suit back on because Naomi Campbell been putting on hazmat suits before coronavirus, so I know she ain't leaving the house. Okay. Mm-hmm. She probably fucking burned the laptop that they did that Instagram on.
I even got a brand new one
because she was like, this nigga gonna give me something, he clearly gonna go out in public. All right. Wow, this has been over 2 hours. I guess we did take yesterday off, but we'll start wrapping it up. Let's go with Sword Ratchetness. A man is accused of slashing a P. Terry's employee's arm with a gladiator sword.
God damn, how you get a hold of one of those? Naruto's village? That'd be gladiator sword. God
well,
damn.
Gladiator is not a ninja sword. That's like a katana or something. Gladiator sword is like, you know, the movie Gladiator.
Oh, like Roman times?
Yeah, like the Roman sword. It normally looks like a triangle at the top and then kind of down like that.
Okay.
Austin police have arrested a man accused of cutting a P. Terry's employee with officers the size of gladiator sword. What's his name, Maximus or some shit? Austin's police department says that on Monday, April 27, officers reported
he came in there with a toga.
Right. They reported to P. Terry's location at South Lamar Boulevard and Barton Springs Road after a disturbance call. A witness and restaurant employees told officers that Russell Watkins, 33, guess the race.
White.
He is white. I don't know how you got that. Watkins, I would have went black. was confronted by an employee after taking items from a car parked at the location. Watkins just reportedly dropped the items on the street and walked off when an employee went to pick them up. When he bent down to get them, the victim says Watkins removed the sword concealment and slashed at his arm. The victim says Watkins yelled,
"Don't touch it, motherfucker, I'm gonna kill you."
Officers say the cut was across the victim's bicep and tricep in a straight line and about the size of a dollar bill.
God damn.
Mm-hmm. Must be the money. Watkins is charged with second degree felony aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. His bond was set at $25,000.
I'm gonna tell you why I pick white. I pick white because the sword would have been used against us brown people, so I figured we wouldn't have had access to the sword no way.
At P Terrace, they are slashing prices. Okay.
And you apparently.
Mm-hmm. That's sad. That
a little bit more than the 5-figure discount apparently.
Yeah, he was more than a coupon cutter. Okay.
Come on.
A arm cutter. Okay. But yeah, that's these motherfuckers got swords out here in a pandemic and they just walking up taking people's shit and cutting employees at the P Terrace. I don't even know what P Terrace is.
Me either. I was about to ask you.
Sound like a convenience store.
I'm about to say that must not be in the States. Never heard of it.
Terry.
Now this is.
Nah, it's in Kansas. It said.
Okay. Okay. That's gonna be something local to Kansas. So I was
yeah.
Like, never.
Maybe
heard
it's
of
like
it.
Piggly Wiggly, but for whatever area of the country.
Right,
that
like
is.
A Winn-Dixie's or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to Google it here. Texas all natural afford. Oh, it's a burger stand.
Oh.
Hmm. I guess he has some beef.
Ha ha ha.
So yeah, he cut somebody's arm. Mm-mm-mm. Y'all be careful out there, okay? People
mm-hmm.
acting crazy in this pandemic. Y'all don't know what's gonna happen.
Mm-mm. That's another reason to stay your ass in the house too.
Yeah, these sword niggas out here, okay? Why couldn't he run into the dude with the clan? You know? How come life can never be that easy?
Right?
You know? Just sword man and
what
clan.
What you doing with that hood?
Right. Knowing sword people though, it'd be like, and now the clan man has a hood. I mean, has a sword.
Yes.
Well, now he got a sword and a hood on, y'all. You know,
make it worse.
All right, y'all.
He out there fucking leveling up. You be like, no, we didn't want you to level
right.
up.
He charging up like Dragon Ball. Ah,
he's getting racism.
His racism is at 9,000.
I know, just like saying racial slurs. Mm-hmm. Be like, niggers. spear checker.
Nigga.
Yeah.
Nigga bomb.
Yes. All right,
y'all, that's it.
Nigga strike.
This is, I don't know what it's become. This has become something totally different.
Yes, it did.
All right, y'all. We'll be back tomorrow. And if we're not back, withhold the black vote. Okay? Don't vote.
You better not.
Okay? Until
y'all better vote.
Until we give you the word. We want all of y'all.
Don't
we
y'all
are holding
listen to
out.
These Negroes. We do not represent all
every
the black
person should get one free Popeye's chicken sandwich or else we will
okay,
let
now,
Trump
now.
Win.
That
okay?
I, you know, now that I might have to, you know, agree with. But
I
the
need
rest
some
of this shit, no.
Concessions and some concession stands. Okay? And some fries.
You know, well, if that's the case, I want McDonald's to bring back the high C orange. That's my concession.
Mm-hmm. Until we get high C orange and free chicken sandwiches from Popeyes, us and Puff Daddy will be holding the black vote hostage.
Well,
we're not afraid.
And that's the case. I'm going to be holding it then.
We will be holding it hostage in another country that we can fly on our private jet.
Come on!
And get the fuck out of here. Let you niggas deal with what you have wrought. All right, y'all. Until next time. I love you.
I love you too.